Maybe, I don't know, it's just me. Maybe jail isn't where you want to look for a hot chick.
Dude, why are you trying to come down on a brother just trying to get some love? Come on.
I want to thank the K-Rock listener who tipped me off to my new girlfriend, Debbie Dixon, or as I prefer to know her as W94033. She is a prisoner in Chowchilla, California, and you can go to krock.com and look on the sites section of the Kevin and Bean page to see her name and bio. I guess I can contact her through prisonpals.net, which is my new favorite website. Here's what it has to say about my girlfriend, Debbie, who, by the way, describe what she looks like to everybody. Lisa, you've seen the picture, right?
She's hot. She's a very hot blonde, although I question the validity of this picture. Yeah. I mean, it could have been taken 15 years ago.
The picture was taken 15 years ago while she was still out, while she was still young, and yes, while she still had both arms.
Yeah. Well, I am going to say, though, and who knows if this is accurate, but according to her bio, she's only 25 years old.
Of course.
So, I mean, that's what it says anyway. So, anyway, young and sexy looking, looking for someone to occupy my mind, stimulate my body, and lift my spirits. Now, that already you're screaming out for Bean, right? I mean, I'm the guy you think of, Lisa, right? When you want to stimulate your body, lift your spirits, occupy your mind. I mean, that's me.
Straight to Bean.
Of course.
Thank you. I enjoy trying new things, says Debbie.
Like
meeting new people, all outdoor recreation, music, working out at the gym, and experiencing life to
working
its fullest.
Working out at the gym.
Here's my favorite part,
have
by the way.
Have you ever once seen the inside of a gym?
On TV. I've seen him on TV.
In person, seriously.
Here's what I love about Debbie Dixon. Here's what I love about W94033 in Chowchilla is that she was convicted of burglary, okay? That's why she's in jail, for stealing stuff. So here's what she says in her bio. I am honest in all my doings.
Except for that time.
Affectionate of both the spoken word and touch. I have a thoughtful and intelligent mind, a sense of humor, and an adventurous nature. Age and race unimportant. I will answer everyone. Except prisoners.
So, how can she have something against prisoners?
That's what I'm wondering,
that's
by the way.
Hypocritical just a bit.
Because they're not honest like her.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Or they don't have a lot of money that they could send her, because in what she's looking for, she's seeking women, friends, men, and then donations. It says.
Really? She just wants you to plain old send her money?
Well, if she's got a Polaroid camera, I might consider spending her money if you look at this picture. All right, I was working on crafting an introductory note, and the key is you don't want to be one of those guys who's just talk. I don't want to give too much away because I want there to be a little sense of mystery about me also, right?
I mean, she's in jail.
Right, but I'm thinking I can unveil the layers of my personality in the correspondence as we go on down the road.
Layers of hatred?
I don't need to tell her everything right up front.
Okay. So she won't write you back.
All right, I got you.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Lisa. Hey, wait a minute. So I just wrote a really kind of a short, you know, how you doing letter.
So this is your first introductory letter to W930, whatever the prisoner's number.
Yes, okay. I'm mailing this to Debbie today. Hey, Debbie, it says. Exclamation point, optimistic,
nice,
friendly, upbeat. I thought about that a lot.
Good. Did you put your stupid little smiley face after it?
I saw your ad online this week, and I realized I had to write you. You don't know me, but we have something in common. I'm also a prisoner of your heart.
Oh, no.
So, boom! Right out of the gate. I got her. Romance.
I cannot believe that.
I am also a prisoner of your heart. Then I go on. I am also a little bit of a gym rat, but...
God.
Commonality, people, right?
Sure.
Common interest. She's into the gym. I'm into the gym.
She's into lion. You're into lion.
I'm also a little bit of a gym rat, but we'll put down the weight thingies to send you some mail to help you pass the time.
Dude, don't call them weight thingies.
Oh, really? Not weight thingies?
No,
weights.
I would say barbells, maybe.
Okay, I'll go back and read
the weight thingies.
I hope you can write me back. I'm, of course, looking forward to October of 2008 when you are released, but until then, I remain your most loyal pen pal, Bean. So that's kind of just the opening salvo, just to say I'm here.
But wait. You don't want to say you remain her
yeah,
most
it's first
because
letter.
You're not her most loyal whatever you said.
And you might be scaring her by telling her you're waiting for her to get out.
Yeah, I think so. You're acting like you've had a relationship with her for like years already.
Okay,
so just say I hope to hear back from you soon. That's all.
Don't sound as deluded as you actually are.
Yes.
All
hide
right.
The delusion.
I will I'll clean that right up.
Okay.
Right.
You,
the prisoner of your heart and the gym rat and all that, you think all that's good,
that's
and
good.
That'll
that's
okay,
perfect. Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. You want to talk to Todd? He's a former sheriff. He knows a little something about how these prison pen pal deals work.
Todd.
Hey.
Hey, you been listening to this?
Yeah. How you guys been doing?
We're good. Thank
now,
you.
Now you're not going to try to break up my undying love for W94033, are you?
It's already done.
Listen, I was trying to tell him that this is probably a picture from like 15 years ago when she had both arms.
That's exactly what it is.
Thank you.
But she says she's only 25 years old. So what?
The majority of the population, if they go in when they're slim and trim and looking good, by the time the food and the sedative lifestyle kicks in, they balloon right up.
They balloon up. Now, and she couldn't lie about her age. Right?
She's an honest person. It says here that she's honest in all doings, Kevin. It's stunning when you start to poke around on the internet. There are dozens of these prison pen pal sites. I mean, it is enormously popular, right?
Yeah, it is. But the majority of them are for the loser male on the outside or the loser female on the outside. And then there's the prey on the inside, which is the inmate.
That's what I thought. It's kind of a big scam thing, right?
Exactly. That's exactly what it is.
They just try to take advantage of weak people and try to get their money or whatever?
Get their money, get their sympathy, have a place to stay when they get out of the joint because their family has thrown them out.
Who hurt you, Todd? Because it sounds to me like you're just a hater.
No, hey, it's a reality. It's a fact.
All right. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
All right.
All right, bye. Jamie in Garden Grove. Good morning.
Good morning, fellas. How are you guys?
We're very good. Thank you.
Good.
Tell us about your mom being in prison.
So, yeah, she would, she heard about all these pen pals, and she just had pictures of my sister with her, and she would write to them and send them pictures of my sister saying, you know.
It was her?
It was her.
That's awesome. So she would write to guys and say, this is me, and it would be her daughter.
Exactly.
Awesome.
Exactly. And they would send her money into prison, and then she continued to do it afterwards, too.
Really? You mean she was out of jail and was saying she was in jail just so that she could correspond and get money?
No, she finally said, oh, yeah, I'm out. Oh, I see, we can meet up, this and that. She never did, but, I mean, there are some weirdos out there.
Woman that you're writing is 79 years old, and she's showing you a picture of her granddaughter.
Very well could be. Yeah, I guess it makes sense, because if you're in jail, like my girlfriend Debbie here, she's in prison for 4 more years. She has nothing but time to manipulate whoever she wants to.
Yep.
Yeah.
What's it to her?
My mom may know her.
Yeah, no kidding. All right. Thank you for the call. I appreciate that.
All right. And let's go to Karen in Chino. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning. How are you?
We're good. Now, you're a corrections officer.
I was for 12 and a half years.
Okay, good.
All right. And it's you were up there in Chino, is that right?
I was in CRC in Norco.
Okay. Is this fairly commonplace that the women behind bars are looking for pen pals on the outside to send them stuff?
Yes, they have men. The men and women are, but I worked in the women's visiting unit for 4 years, and they would have different pen pals sending them letters, and then they would get them to send them money and stamps and come visit them and bring them in drugs. And
oh, you're kidding. They just wanted to just kind of milk them for stuff?
For as much as they can get. They have nothing but time.
Are you saying that they're not reputable and that you can't be trusted?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
And how could you break a little boy's heart like that?
Seriously. I mean, in Debbie's profile at prisonpenpals.net, she says, I am honest in all of my doings, affectionate in both spoken word and touch. I mean, that is just a beautiful person on the inside and the outside, Karen.
She's very good at manipulating words.
Okay, here's my plan, Bean. This is what I said. I had a plan for you. I think you should write two letters, and you should write one of them. You should sound like you have a lot of money. And the other one, you should hint or sound like you have no money and see if she responds to both. Because I'll bet if Karen is right, she'll only respond to the one that sounds like you have a lot of money.
Interesting.
Maybe so.
How about that?
That's a good idea.
Which letter can I send a Polaroid camera with and get her to take naughty pictures for me?
She's 79. You want naughty pictures of a 79-year-old?
She's not 79. She's 25.
She's not 25.
She's a big old dog.
Oh, see.
Where's the Ralph?
Thursday morning, time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning, Bean. Welcome, boys and girls. It is the Showbiz Beat. Kevin and Bean are on vacation. You're listening to the best of at 5:57 in the a.m. I've got all the latest in showbiz news, and I've also got all day long, I've got tickets to give away to a little film called Grindhouse. We've got tickets for the red carpet world premiere of Grindhouse, the new double feature of thrillers from directors Quentin Tarantino and Robert Rodriguez. The movie opens Friday, April the 6th. However, you'll get to see it first Monday, March 26th, down at the Orpheum Theater in downtown Los Angeles. If you're a fan of Quentin Tarantino and Robert Rodriguez's work, I've got a little trivia question for you. If you're one of the first two callers to get the answer correct at 1-800-520-1067, you'll get a pair of tickets to go to the World Carpet or World Premiere Red Carpet premiere. You know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
It's the first time you get to see Grindhouse. Here's your question. Robert Rodriguez and Quentin Tarantino are the best of buddies. They've worked together before. Quentin Tarantino was an actor for Robert Rodriguez in Desperado. He wrote and acted in From Dusk Till Dawn that Robert Rodriguez directed. However, they have also collaborated like this as directors on two other films before Grindhouse. There are two other movies where Robert Rodriguez and Quentin Tarantino both directed sequences in the film. If you can call now and give me the answer to what two films I'm referring to, 1-800-520-107. If you're one of the first two callers, you get a pair of tickets to go see the world premiere of Grindhouse.
Is it Joe Dirt and Bring It On?
So close, but yes, not correct. Mm. Sorry, Psycho Mike. Drinking with the Stars. If there's a new show on ABC that has that competition, I think Dancing with the Stars alum Vivica A. Fox should participate. She was arrested on Tuesday night on suspicion of drunk driving. However, it sounds like you can take the suspicion right out of it. She was stopped for speeding on the 101 freeway. She also couldn't stay in her lane.
Ouch.
Cops pulled her over, asked her to perform a field sobriety test, which, according to the police, she was unable to satisfactorily perform. They also noted that a breath test indicated the presence of alcohol greater than 0.08. No word on what the she actually blew, but
hey,
it was over the legal limit, so that much we know. She was released from police custody early yesterday morning, and we're still waiting to hear from her people.
I sure hope
they can explain this away.
Sure hope TMZ has video of her performing those field sobriety tests.
I bet they don't.
We have a winner, believe it or not.
Wow. Wow, that was quick. Who are we talking to, Psycho?
We are talking to Matthew in San Pedro.
Matthew?
Hello.
Hey, brother. Which of the two films were both directed by Quentin Tarantino and Robert Rodriguez?
I think it's Sin City and Four Rooms.
You're absolutely right. Four Rooms. Four different directors took a shot at the segments in that. And then in Sin City, Tarantino was a special guest director. He did a segment for him. You're absolutely right. Hold on. We'll give you all the details, okay?
Great.
I thought he hung up on us for a minute there.
I did, too. Also, congratulations to Joe in L.A.
Joe, congratulations. Nicole Richie has been diagnosed with what her doctors are calling hypoglycemia. They say that her blood sugar levels are often too low to provide adequate energy for her body. That's why her people are saying that she was hospitalized after falling faint while shooting the latest season of her reality TV show with Paris Hilton. She had to be taken to the hospital. She was dehydrated and she passed out. Now, I'm no nutritional therapist.
Right.
But couldn't that also be caused just by not eating enough?
Never eating or imbibing any type of liquids besides alcohol?
Yeah.
Could do that to you.
Couldn't that cause a certain amount of hypoglycemia?
Again, neither you or I medical doctors, but I can assure that's right.
I'm guessing if she stopped boozing and drugging and started eating regularly, she'd probably clear up pretty quick.
Yeah.
But that's what they're saying. So that may be the new celebrity illness. It used to be dehydration, exhaustion, perhaps hypoglycemia is the next step. I don't know how long you've been a David Letterman fan, but if you're like me and you watched since the beginning, you probably remember a guy named Larry Bud Melman. He was David Letterman's sidekick on the show for many, many years. Well, the actor Calvert DeForest, who played Larry Bud Melman, has passed away. Huh. He was 85 years old. He was on the show from 1982 to 2002. For 20 years, he worked with David Letterman. And Letterman said in a statement today, "Everyone always wondered if Calvert was an actor playing a character, but in reality, he was just himself. A genuine, modest, and nice man. To our staff and to our viewers, he was a beloved part of and valued part of our show. We will miss him." So, poor Larry Bud. And Scarlett Johansson is insisting she never dated Justin Timberlake. Spitting press reports that the two were together, she said they were never dating. They would just hang out, which is chick code for we would just bang around sometimes. But he never took me to dinner. Pretty much that's what she's saying. "We had fun together," she said. "But it's not like the first time I've ever hung out with him. I think this rumor happens because we're both single in the spotlight." That's what it is. It's not that you're known for banging Benicio del Toro in an elevator, for corn's sake.
And that Timberlake runs through the ladies like crazy,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, he does all right for himself. The love of dairy. Just come out and save people. Today's celebrity birthdays, Reese Witherspoon, who Kevin thinks looks like a dude. She's 31 years old today. Matthew Modine. He's 48 years old today. Lena Olin, you probably know her as Irina Derevko from Alias. She's also in Chocolat and other feature films. 52 years old today. Bob Costas, one of the best sportscasters in the business, turns 55 years today. 55 years old today. And William Shatner.
Oh.
Captain Kirk, Denny Crane, T.J. Hooker. The man is a legend, a myth, an icon.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Bill. That's safe to say.
I'm impressed.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Look, I don't listen to the Bob Dylan show on the satellite, but I am always curious when we speak with Mr. Dylan about what he's got going on his weekly theme broadcast. So if we have Bob on the line, we'd like to say hello to him right now. Good morning, Bob.
Granny, his theme sounds funny here.
Hi.
Hey.
or fine or whatever.
Hey.
Bob,
hey.
Hi. How old are you, Bob? Because you're getting to the point, if I can be frank, where it's getting more and more difficult to understand what you're saying.
Maybe 10 years.
67 years old. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought he said younger than you know.
Okay. Now you're doing a radio show, and it involves you're doing a radio show, and it involves themes, which always seems like a bad idea.
Every week you got different themes. You got his songs, his beginning, and the tail of the game.
I don't understand what he said.
Wow.
As far as I understand, he picks a theme, and then he plays music and talks about that particular theme.
Like
one day it was weather.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so like with weather, you would play songs. You know, you might play "Riders on the Storm" by The Doors, and then you'd come on. You'd talk about
right there.
So you already did the weather.
You did weather already,
rain.
But then I haven't heard the show, Bob. But then you come on and you talk about
right. Next time.
Okay. Well, but my question
is, do you have an assistant that can write that down?
Well, I guess. Oh, but you're, damn. And a little ink. Oh, damn. Oh, damn.
Your pen's out of ink?
Ramp in ink.
Oh.
Bob,
but you're doing an interview right now.
Bob, let that go.
Bob.
You already did the weather show.
Next time I do weather.
Okay.
Right.
But my question was, because I haven't heard the show. Then you come out and you go, oh, I was riding through a storm one day. Let me tell you that story. Then you weave like some, that's how you tell it. And then you play another song, tell another story. That's how it works.
Story of the hurricane.
Sure.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I got you. All right. What's the topic of this week's show? Bob.
Gunny.
Comedy? What is it? Comedy? You're doing a show on comedy? Bob?
Gummy.
Candy?
Candy. He's doing it.
Wait.
Gummy. Oh, coffee.
Gummy.
Oh.
Coffee? Is that what you said?
Coffee.
Oh, coffee. Okay. All right. Well,
wait a minute. Coffee is coffee. It's not a theme. It's just something you drink.
It's a theme.
It's a theme.
I did it.
How do you do a whole show on coffee?
I did. Yeah. Listen. Right. Yeah. Sounds good.
Right. I am waiting at the counter for the man to pour the coffee, and he fills it only halfway, and before I even argue, he is looking out the window at somebody coming in.
Okay, but so you just play that song because it happens to mention coffee in the lyrics?
And then you play the exact same
coffee one.
Right.
Yeah, and milk.
Then you tell the story about
and
coffee?
Sugar.
Uh-huh. How much sugar?
And I took a spoon.
Right.
Stirred it.
You stirred the coffee?
Drank it down.
That's a hell of a show right there.
Mmm, coffee.
And then you played that song again and again because there's no other one?
No, it's this one.
Bob, how... How do you know about Henry Rollins?
Because Henry Rollins and I once had a three-way with a Japanese whore.
Is that right?
Now that's a story I wouldn't mind hearing about sometime.
You need to do a sex team.
Being here out that too much coffee. Yeah. Angry.
Sounds like it.
Here's a good coffee, son.
I'm on the thing for the coffee. song. The radio is playing a soft country song.
Yeah.
Now, is that the great Gordon Lightfoot we're listening to there, Bob?
Yeah, Gordon Lightfoot.
How about that? I love
taking
him. You know
the coffee.
But right? The songs are already starting to suck about coffee.
Well,
how do you fill up a whole...
No.
How do you fill up a whole show?
They're good. Right. I have another cup of coffee. Give me coffee. Oh, right, screw well, it. I have a cup of tea instead.
All right. It's Wednesday. I want to say it's Wednesday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Lisa, stand by. We're about to talk about musical theater.
Yeah! Always look on the light side of life.
Look, if I argue with you, I must take up a contrary position.
But it didn't just say no, it didn't.
Yes, it is.
No, it didn't.
Doesn't it awfully nice to have a penis? Isn't it frightfully good to have a dong?
Is your wife, a goer, eh? No, that's nuts. No, to me, say no more,
Are you insinuating something?
Oh, yes.
What got you have egg, bacon, spam and sausage?
That's got spam in it!
Not as much as spam, egg, sausage and spam.
Could I have egg, bacon, spam and sausage without the spam? I don't like spam!
So, finally, a show that we can all be excited about, Monty Python's Spamalot. You heard about it, now you can see it. It's in Las Vegas, officially opening up on Sunday, March 31st. The man behind the legend, ladies and gentlemen, Eric Idle on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous T-Rock right now. Good morning, Mr. Idle.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us. Very excited. So, Monty Python's Spamalot's going to be at the Wynn Las Vegas. You're in preview performances right now. Is this the same show, same cast that had been running on Broadway for a while?
Not the same cast. It's not. It's the same show, though. Yeah. I mean, we have our own cast there. We have John O'Hurley playing King Arthur.
Awesome.
Lisa's got to be excited. You know, just a little background on this show. We don't talk about theater, Broadway shows. Lisa goes all the time. We will not let her speak about them.
Well, back in September, we were in New York.
Yeah.
And all I cared about was seeing Spamalot.
Yeah.
And it was sold out. So.
Oh.
No, but I went because I knew someone who knew someone who knew someone, and it was so. Great. Oh, I just loved it.
But even then, we wouldn't let her talk about it.
No.
But now.
Exactly.
Bastards.
Eric, how long ago did you get the idea, hey, there's still such a fan base out there for the you know, for the TV show and the movies. Maybe there's a way to make this happen live. Is this something you had been sitting on for a long, long time before you got it together?
You know, I got the idea about in the mid-90s. I was working on there was a Holy Grail DVD game, you know, on those strange computer games.
Right.
And I was in charge of that. And I thought, you know, if you can make a computer game, you can make a show out of this. It seemed to be suggesting songs all the time, like, I'm not yet dead.
You right, know, yeah, right.
Instantly a song. I'm surprised we didn't think of it at the time.
Yeah, it did take you a while, considering.
Yes, it did.
There's so many lines that people quote from your stuff, and especially from Holy Grail, I imagine. What's the line that people say to you the most when they meet you?
Well, this, to me personally, they say, you know, nice, now I mean, say no more.
Yes.
Right. They do it to me, but... The lines from Grail are things like, I fart in your general direction.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Who would have known that would become a catchphrase?
Probably no one. Was it difficult to write an entire Broadway show based on that?
No, it was actually a great deal of fun, and I had help from my musical partner, John Dupre, and we wrote sort of lots of silly songs, and then, of course, I got Mike Nichols, which is not too shabby to get as a director. You
sure.
Know? So he's fabulous with writing, and there's a show that sort of found itself. I mean, it sort of turns around and looks at itself, like all Python things do. It sort of begins to recognize that it is a show, like the films do that.
Right.
You know,
right.
And the books do it, and the records do it. So I had to keep that sort of Python idea of looking back at yourself and recognizing that.
It has to be so shocking for you, though, to think about how long ago you were creating some of these characters and some of this dialogue. I mean, at the time...
Before I was born.
Yeah.
That's what's so shocking about it, you know.
But I mean...
I'm much younger now because I live in California.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it
that'll
works.
Do it, right.
Fantastic.
But at the time...
It's 25 years since we Pythons actually worked together. That's
wow.
What really shocked me the other day.
So there's new generations of kids that are growing up, and for people who haven't discovered yet Monty Python and the Holy Grail, give them a little taste of what it is.
Me personally,
yeah.
Well, it's rather silly. I think, actually, I don't think there's anybody who hasn't discovered it. I mean, there's kids get it now at 6 and 7 and 8. They go riding around pretending to be on coconuts. But, I mean, it's really a King Arthur spoof, you know. Right. I mean, that's what it is. It's knights rounding up knights to go seek the Holy Grail. Because God has somehow misplaced a cup.
Well, sure, that'll happen.
The almighty and all-knowing, but he's lost one of his cups. And instead of just buying him another one, whatever he should have done, people write huge conspiracy theories about how it's hidden in his bloodline.
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you have any kind of sense at the time that you were making that film all those years ago that it was the kind of comedy that would endure, or did you think, wow, let's just hope somebody comes to see the movie when it comes out?
Well, do you know what the budget was?
No.
Mm-mm.
No.
$400,000.
Wow. $400,000.
5 weeks. We shot every day of daylight there was. We were all in woolen armor with damp coming up to our knees.
Right.
We couldn't afford horses, so we used coconuts.
Right.
I mean, it was really, you know, grueling. If you see us crawling in the mud, that's real mud.
Wow.
Yeah. Pick will.
How long did it take to shoot the entire thing, Eric?
It was 5 weeks.
Five weeks.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, it's an example of what you can do if you don't have enough money.
Yeah, well.
And you have to use ingenuity. I think that's what's so, you know, that's what persists.
It probably took you 5 weeks to cast Spamalot, let alone make an entire movie in that span.
Well, we paid more for the lawyers on Spamalot.
Well, you have said in the past that you think a lot of theater has gotten to be terribly boring, and your show is really more for our audience. It's for the rock and roll crowd that wants to get out and see something different, right?
Well, that's true, because, I mean, I do tours, and I do this sort of stuff on tour. We were testing out a lot of the Spamalot stuff, like the Taunter. And it brings in a completely different audience. It's that sort of Broadway thing. It isn't really Broadway at all. It's sort of, in anything, a spoof of Broadway.
Right.
And you guys always did sort of that feeling, that spoof of music hall theater and that kind of thing with, you know, the Lumberjacks, or whether even the song from the original movie, Knights of the Round Table. You're very aware of taking the air out of those sort of pretensions.
Yes, Python music is sort of redolent of everything else. You know, it's ripped off the same as our sketches are. You know, they come out of everything else. And that's what we try to keep going. And in fact, there's this completely ungrateful ripoff of Andrew Lloyd Webber. Who actually was one of the original contributors to the budget of the Holy Grail.
Oh, that's funny. This Spamalot that we're talking about is at the beautiful Wynn Las Vegas, which is my very favorite hotels of all the ones that we've stayed when we've gone out there for our Las Vegas shows. But it's in previews now, and the opening night is Saturday, March 31st. Eric, do you have any idea, for people who are planning ahead their calendar, any idea how long Spamalot will run in Las Vegas?
I'm looking for at least 2 weeks.
Okay, good.
Good luck with that.
Wow, you shoot big.
I do. But I think, you know, it's a no-win situation, as we say. No. I think hopefully it'll run for a long time. We've got a huge advance, and people are coming in, and they're laughing. And what tells me that they love it is they go and buy merchandise.
It's all about souvenirs.
All those souvenirs, you know, killer rabbits and the flying cows and things
sure.
like that.
Sure. Eric, with the success of Spamalot, I'm sure all the other Python fans want to know, do you have any other plans in the works to make musicals out of any of the other features?
Well, not really, because what we've actually written is, John and I have written an oratorio based on the life of Brian.
Oh,
great. Which we're doing with a symphony orchestra and a choir. It's called Not the Messiah. He's a very naughty boy. And so it's just more of a piss take of Handel.
Right.
Well, this looks like it's fantastic, and a lot of us love to go to Las Vegas on the weekends. This looks like it would be a good night to include.
Absolutely.
Again, the Wynn Las Vegas, it's there starting at the end of this month, and it continues for at least 2 weeks.
Yes, hopefully.
So look forward to that. Eric, thanks very much for joining us today. Thanks, we appreciate it.
All
right, bye
okay.
now.
Bye-bye.
First, though, Kevin, just answer this question for me. Who's the president of China?
Bean finds this so funny.
Who's the president of China?
He's been laughing about this ever since President Hu, which is his name, H-U, actually came to America, which is about
a
week ago.
I say, who's the president of China? You say, exactly, and then hit the button.
But that's not funny.
I tried. Who's the president of China?
Exactly. Oops, that's the wrong one. Where the hell's my music?
Hit the button. I said hit the button.
Oh, there it is.
There we go. As you know, the president of China, Hu Jintao, was just here in America for a few days last week. He is gone now, but we finally got a chance to catch up with him and find out how his visit to America was. And also some very surprising news about the Chinese army. We want to run by the president, too. Mr. Hu, good morning.
Hurrah, Kevin and Bean.
Well, hello to you. So people refer to you as who?
I am.
Exactly. All right.
How did you?
I am who?
You are who? That's your name.
I am.
Right.
I so, am who, president.
Right.
Right. So
who is who, president?
Well, you are.
Yes.
Now who I gets, am.
Who gets your paycheck at the end of the week?
No, what is the Minister of Culture?
Please stop it.
You know what?
I'm begging all of you.
I hate you all.
All right. Mr. President, first
why?
Of all, because you're doing...
why is our defense chairman?
Right.
How? Formula One.
All right, Mr. President, we're moving on now. How did you enjoy...
How is the chief of military?
Okay.
Also how?
Tell me about your...
I am
your...
who?
Right. Okay, President who? We got that, yes.
I am.
Tell me about your visit
you're to the... You're the President who?
Come on.
I am.
Come on.
Seriously.
Tell me about your visit to the
it's a 900-year-old bit. Stupid who's on first BS. Come on. Come on.
Can we take
we
this again,
to get
please?
To other stuff. I hate you both.
Mr. President.
Who?
Yes, that's your name.
That's the President who?
Can we ask
I
you
am.
About your visit to the White House?
Hello?
Yes.
I didn't recall you had this sense of humor. You were at the White House the other day when you were being heckled, sir.
Why?
You were being heckled at the White House.
Who was?
Yes.
Exactly.
Come on. Seriously. Come on.
I don't think we can go on at this point.
Come on.
Come on who?
You wish.
Seek his, seek his people. Because they won't let people with tattoos in the army, and we had a lot of good questions here.
For any of that
you're going to get to all that.
Kevin and Beans, what is your deal? 1-800-520-1067. We'll be back right after this on K-Rock.
Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning, Kevin on tape. You're listening to the best of Kevin and Bean. They're on vacation this week. They'll be back on Monday. But in the meanwhile, I'll be giving you all the latest showbiz news, as well as giving away some tickets to the red carpet world premiere of Grindhouse. This is the double feature of thrillers directed by Quentin Tarantino and Robert Rodriguez. It is going to open in theaters on Friday, April the 6th, but you'll get to see it early at the red carpet world premiere, which is going to be Monday, March 26th at the Orpheum Theater downtown in Los Angeles on Broadway. If you can answer the following trivia question, I've got one pair of tickets available. I'll be giving one away every hour today as well as tomorrow. Here's your trivia question for you Tarantino fans. He is one of the few directors of his caliber not to belong to this prestigious organization. Which organization am I referring to? 1-800-520-1067 is the phone number to call. The first caller to get through with the correct answer wins a pair of tickets to go see the world premiere of Grindhouse. Well, if you didn't get your invitation to Kevin Federline's 29th birthday party last night, don't feel too bad. The party was canceled.
Oh!
After trying to get one of several possible magazines to sponsor the party for a mere $25,000, none of them took the bait.
Oh, my goodness.
So the event had to be canceled due to the fact that no one would put up the money. However, KFED's people are spinning it like this. He decided to focus on his family right now. That's why he didn't want to have the party. But in reality, according to sources, no one would pony up the cash, put up a red carpet, and sponsor it so that he could have his 29th birthday party.
That's a disaster. They littered the internet with invitations, and you just see them paste it all over Los Angeles.
Yeah.
That's, oh, man, yeah. It's hardcore.
Did not happen so much. Looks like there will be a party, however, in Vegas on Saturday night. So if you're in Vegas, cruise by Pure over there. I believe it's Caesars. Is that where Pure is? And you can see if that still goes off. However, no word on whether the freshly rehabbed Britney Spears will be there or not. But looks like Kevin have plenty of money to spend in Vegas. Reportedly, from the London Sun tabloid in England, this is the deal. Since they've come to this agreement about custody of their two kids, they've ironed out some of the financial issues as well. And looks like Federline will walk away with $13 million overall once the divorce is said and done. So,
hefty chunk of change.
Not a bad day's work for KFED. Speaking of KFED, have you heard about his new website? He's got his own search engine now.
Really?
It's called searchwithkevin.com. According to the advertisements, You get to see multiple pictures of Kevin while using the search engine.
Well, I'm in
on
already.
The internet. And users can earn all sorts of Kevin-related prizes just by searching.
Really?
Oh, can you imagine like a wife beater or a, you know, an empty pack of Newports or an empty 40 or something, or one of his sharks from the Shark Tank? There's just so many possibilities. Maybe we'll have to talk to Kevin next week and see what kind of prizes he can offer up on the...
See if he's available.
On searchwithkevin.com. Well, it could be another Paris Hilton sex romp caught on film. This one comes to us via MediaTakeout.com, which shows alleged video of her in a compromising position with CeeLo from Gnarls Barkley. Her representatives say it looks like someone doctored the footage, and the two have only met once, but on the other hand, isn't that all it takes? Just once with Paris? You don't have to get to know her too well, apparently, to bring out the old night vision goggles.
Do you know what CeeLo looks like?
Yes, I've seen CeeLo. He's a good-looking fella.
I'd kill to see that video.
Paris Hilton's on the prowl again. I mentioned yesterday while she was in rehab, she did an interview with GQ Magazine saying she needs a boyfriend. Well, In Touch Magazine reports she may have a new man. The actress has been seen out and about with former Korn guitarist Rob Patterson. That seems like an odd match, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That's got to hit his credibility right where it lives.
And street cred taking it, taking it.
We got a winner! Nelly.
Oh, Nelly, we got a winner. Who are we talking to, Psycho?
We're talking to Brianna in Islos.
Brianna?
Yes?
Which prestigious organization does Quentin Tarantino not belong to as a director?
The Directors Guild.
The Directors Guild of America, you're right. He's, according to David King of Mexico, he's left the organization several times. He's currently not a member. And he's one of the few directors working in Hollywood, isn't a member of that big-time union. So, hold on, we'll give you all your tickets for Grindhouse, okay?
Thanks.
Thank you. Last night on American Idol, oh, it was so sad to see Stephanie Edwards eliminated. I'm not sure which one she is, but I'm sure it was sad to see.
I'm not either.
I can't believe that freaking Sanjaya is not gone yet. He's the Indian dude with the long hair. It's horrible. Seems horrible.
I'm all for the comedy and keeping people in, but he's not funny enough to have around.
He's not bad enough to be
interesting. And he's super annoying with that the gay hair and the hula dancing.
I'm with you, son.
We need a resurrection of the William Hung. That's what I'm saying.
Looks like next week will be a little bit more interesting to watch. Gwen Stefani will be working with the Idol wannabes. So she will be coaching them as they pick their songs. And then on the results show, I guess that means she'll be performing. So you get to see Gwen next week.
She's certainly a good performer. I can see that.
It's Dave the King of Mexico will be watching. Happy celebrity birthdays to Reese Witherspoon. She's 31 years old today. Matthew Modine, a very talented actor, is 48. Lena Olin. You know her as Irina Derevko from Alias. Did you like my accent on that?
I did. Thank you. I'm impressed.
She's 52 years old today. Bob Costas is 55. And Captain Kirk himself, William Shatner, celebrates his 76th birthday today. Yeah. Happy birthday, Bill. Of course, he's currently on the Boston Public. No, what's that show? The Practice? What the hell show? Boston Legal.
There we go.
There we go. And
looking good, by the way.
Denny Crane, 76? Hey, if I look like that at 76, I'll be a happy man.
God bless him.
I'll be a fat, happy man if I look like him at 76. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat. By the way, we did that conversation 2 hours ago. That's how long it takes now, Psycho Mike, to actually get a piece of tape for us on the air. 2 hours.
We are going to take your calls for Kevin and Bean's What Is Your Deal coming up next at 1-800-520-1067. First, though, we have to take care of a little in-house business. I'd like to welcome to the studio our friend Kat Corbett is here, first of all. She's going to be coming on at 10 o'clock like every day. Kat's here a little bit early.
A little bit.
Hi, Kat.
She doesn't look happy.
Here's what Kat does. After our show, she comes in, and I can tell what a bad night it was or how late it was or how much she drank by how low she turns the lights.
It's really bright.
She comes in, she goes, oh, it's so bright. I got to turn this down. And then she turns it down. I'm like feeling my way out of the room, bumping into stuff.
It's like being an albino for a minute, isn't it?
And then also in the studio, and I got to tell you, the place has never smelled so sweet. It's Psycho Mike's new bride, Jenny, has also joined us.
Yes.
Hi, Jenny.
Good morning.
How are
you?
Why is Dave the King of Mexico in here?
Why do you think?
A good point. What are you doing in here?
Kat and Jenny are going to talk about making out and stuff. I'm here.
Watching. Okay.
All right, cool.
Jenny, by the way, perhaps the most beautiful woman that I personally know, so it's always great to see her again.
Aww, and I love Dean.
We have to figure out what we've been hearing so much talk, mostly from Psycho Mike, about the three of you getting together. Take me back to the beginning of the story here, because I am lost as to what's real and what's just in his fantasy world.
I had no idea what was going on.
Right, but
so.
you don't need to, because it's just going to be a wonderful surprise for you, Kat.
We don't need your input.
All right, Psycho Mike, tell us what happened.
We were at Santa Anita, the microbrew, the last one, me and my wife, and Kat's there. And Jenny goes, wow, Kat's so pretty. I don't know why Kat's not in television. She should be in television. She's so hot. Duh. And I'm like, yeah, you like Kat, huh? And so then I was like, you'd totally get it on with Kat, wouldn't you? She's like, oh, no, I don't know, maybe. And she gives me kind of like, what was me?
Not.
Now, wait a minute. Did you say maybe or I don't know?
No, I said nothing of the sort. I was actually with a girlfriend of mine, and we pointed out that Kat was way too hot to be on radio. She should be on TV.
Right.
Et cetera. That was it. End of conversation.
Was he imagining the part where he said, so you want to be with her?
Oh, completely.
Okay. All right. So now it continues.
And I've always desperately wanted to have sex with Kat Corbett. And then,
well,
like,
who hasn't? Get in line, buddy.
Ever since I've met Kat. But then the thing is I got married. And I figured, well, why should that get in the way?
Right, sure.
So why not just throw my wife in the mix?
So you said so you said to her you want to get it on, and she supposedly said yes.
Well, not so much.
And Psycho Mike came in after that day, and every single day since has been talking about this three-way that's going to happen.
Or
with
not
he
at
and
all.
His wife and Kat.
And I felt like a hunted animal behind the scenes.
You should feel like
awesome.
That.
Awesome.
You know, that's what's going on here is the whole...
But it sounds to me like, though, that the story is flawed from the start. If Jenny never said that, then Mike has just created this whole fantasy world that he's living in that there's no hope of anything like that happening.
Bean, wasn't Mike bragging about the fact that Jenny was perfectly fine and okay if Psycho Mike had sex with Kat?
That's true.
What?
I said,
he said, well, can I just have sex with her?
Right.
And knowing that he has negative game, he's actually worse than Dave. I said, hey, sure, if you can get her to do it, go for it.
Okay, so he came back in going, woo, my wife said I could have sex with Kat. This is going to be so great.
I love Jenny. That's
she
great.
She totally gave me the green light, though. At Saturday night at the Weenie Rose, we saw Kat again, and we're talking, and I was like, look, all right, if you're not going to get it on with Kat, you know, you should at least
don't let that go to waste.
Give me the green light, and she
because she'll never have sex with you.
Right, but
whatever.
Okay, so but in your mind, if he's able to somehow pull it off, it's okay.
Roofies.
If he can even manage, I mean, I don't know. I really don't have anything to say. I just don't think it's possible.
Kat, do you have anything
really
to say at this point?
Well, the first knock against you is that we work together.
Right. That hasn't stopped you and me. Did I say that out loud?
So, you know, I kind of like, I don't like to get my meat where I get my bread kind of girl, you know what I mean?
I understand, sure.
I got you. But let me ask you this hypothetically or theoretically, whichever one it is, I can never keep those two straight. What if it were a consensual three-way thing where you're not, you know, it's with Mike, but it's also with Jenny, and it's just, it's all good and it's all fun. You don't have to worry about anybody's feelings getting hurt. It's just, you know what it is going in. It's just sex.
Jenny has a nice smile, but she's shaking her head no.
See, I have a problem because don't you think Mike's going to be really selfish and it'll be all about him?
He is selfish,
Well, no kidding.
He ruins most things.
Yeah.
Says the woman who's been married to him for 8 months, by the way.
You ruin most things.
I do.
Well, he's a horrible lover. I mean, he's admitted that. We know that that's true. But that doesn't mean that he wouldn't rise to the occasion if he had you two lovely ladies.
I think, well, look. I'm a horrible lover for biological reasons. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I have a small wiener. We talk about the macaroni skin many times. But my sexual appetite, and my wife will have to attest this, is very high. So there's a good chance that I might be able to handle two women, you know, because I could maybe, it might not be a long session, but they'll be numerous. You know what I'm saying? I'll be right back in the action.
So just as they're getting into it, you're done.
By the way.
Every single time. You're telling us.
I wish you guys could see Jenny's face now, his wife, because she's
so
looking
disgusted.
At him like, well, first of all, what are you talking about? And second of all, why are you talking about it?
The whole thing is very frightening.
So, yeah.
This conversation has left a bad taste in everyone's mouth, is basically
pretty
what you're
much.
Saying.
So this isn't
going to
happen then?
No.
You've been talking about the three-way for 4 months.
I know, but I really, you know, it's funny that you mentioned the look on my wife's face. I can't notice it because her breasts are so prominently displayed today.
Have you ever even seen her face, Mike?
No.
We can tell you it's pretty cute.
All right.
As is Kat's, but you haven't seen that either. Okay, so Kat, that's a no from you.
Unless you know, maybe if you flip me with Jed or Stryker or Nicole, something like that. That way, I don't have to directly see you. You know.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Well, see, every day she comes in, she sees me. There you go. Well, lucky for you, Kat, I'm barely competent, and I won't last much longer at this job, so I won't be working here anyway.
And Jenny, that's a no from you as well.
Yeah, no. I love Kat. She's beautiful. It's just, you know, not really my thing.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
You've been leading us on for nothing, Psycho Mike.
Mike, you are pathetic.
You're
pathetic.
I can't believe you guys didn't have anything to fill this slot with.
We've been trying to talk about this for months.
Speaking of filling the slot, Lisa, my name is Gene Simmons.
Lisa, you used to have AOL.
I did used to have AOL.
How'd that go when you decided maybe you were ready to move on to greener pastures?
Well, I heard how hard it was to get off of AOL.
Right.
I'd heard that from a lot of people. So
they have detox centers.
I did. I did go online to try to find out how I could do it online, and right. I couldn't find any place to do it.
You mean they don't have if you want to cancel AOL, here's the number?
They didn't have. Well, I thought I could just do it online,
right,
first
of
all, but
sure.
You can't. There's
you can't
no
cancel
place.
It.
You have to talk to somebody if you want to, okay?
Someone. And then there's no phone number. You can search the AOL website far and wide. There's no phone number to call.
Isn't
to
that
cancel.
Interesting? So what do you do if you want to cancel?
I went, I did a search for cancel AOL, and I found people's blogs and their stories and stuff, and they listed the phone number. I don't know where they got it. But and then I read all about how they did it, what they said to the person.
No kidding.
And I kind of followed the script, and I called the number, and I was able to do it. But the guy was really so crazy persistent. It was insane.
It's like the Da Vinci Code. You had to follow all these different codes and figure out how to get through.
I guess they figure that a lot of people will just quit trying because it's too hard. Or
obviously.
They'll just go, well, I was going to cancel, but now I don't know how to, so I guess I'll just continue to use it or something. And that's how they make their money, is charging you every month. So.
I probably hung on 6 months longer than I would have.
Yeah.
Wow. Just knowing how hard it was going to be.
Well, that's a story that I've heard many times over the years, and it's back in the news this week, and I don't have anything in front of me on this. Do you know where this guy was from?
Someplace.
Okay.
Some dude with
this
a phone.
Some dude, someplace with a phone, who was in the same spot that Lisa was, finally was able to track down that elusive phone number and tried to cancel his AOL, and here's what happened.
Hi, this is John at AOL. How may I help you today?
I want to cancel my account.
Sorry to hear that. But pull your account up here real quick. Can I have your name, please?
Vincent Ferrari.
Been this account for a long time?
Yep.
This is quite a bit. What was causing you to turn this off today?
I just don't use it anymore.
Do you have a high-speed connection, like the DSL or cable?
Yep.
How long have you had that? The high-speed?
Years.
Well, actually, I'm showing a lot of usage on this account.
Yeah, a long time ago. Not recently.
Well, okay, I mean, is there a problem with the software itself?
No, I don't use it. I don't need it. I don't want it. I just don't need it anymore.
Okay. So when you use this, I mean, use the computer, I'm saying. Is that for business or for
Dude, what difference
school?
Does it make? I don't want the AOL account anymore. Can we please cancel it?
Last month was 545 hours of usage.
I don't know how to make this any clearer, so I'm just going to say it one last time. Cancel the account.
Well, explain to me why...
I'm not explaining anything to you. Cancel the account.
Well, what's the matter, man? So, I mean, I'm just trying to help here.
You're not helping me. You're helping me with the
I am trying to help.
Helping me... Listen, I called to cancel the account. Helping me would be canceling the account. Please help me and cancel
No, I wouldn't,
account.
Actually.
Cancel
Turn
my
off
account.
Your account.
Cancel the account.
Worst thing that...
Cancel the account.
Okay, because I'm just trying to figure...
Cancel the account. I don't know how to make this any clearer for you. Cancel the account. When I say cancel the account, I don't mean help me figure out how to keep it. I mean cancel the account.
No, I'm sorry. I don't know what anybody's done to you, Vincent.
How do you please
because
cancel the account?
All right. Someday, when you calm down, you're going to realize all I was trying to do was help you, and it was actually in your best interest to listen.
Wonderful. Okay.
That sounds like a joke. Come on,
that guy was trying to get him pissed off to hang up so he wouldn't cancel the account.
That was unbelievable how many times he had to say that.
Do we have that number? Because I can't believe that's for real.
You don't think it takes that long to cancel
the
account?
No,
I mean, how can it? Once you say you're out, then they don't have any choice. You're legally, they have to cancel you. They can't wrestle you for an hour, can they? Let's dial it up because that just sounds like somebody's having us on there. I don't know.
I bet those guys get paid every time they talk you out of it.
Yeah, no kidding.
I bet you're right. Probably get money taken out of their paycheck for everyone who cancels.
Yeah.
Hello. Thank you for calling the AOL Automated Service Network.
Oh, automated is even better.
We here at AOL believe that you belong.
Right.
And while you're on hold, think about upgrading to AOL High Speed for Broadband. We think everybody should be fast, don't you?
We'd like...
Please hold for your menu of selections.
Okay. This was a recording.
It's better, though. It's better you don't have to talk to somebody. That way they can't spend all your time trying to talk you out of it.
Plus, you get to listen to this snappy music.
Yeah. Why can they ever get better music?
Hello, and thank you for calling AOL's Automated Service Network.
Hi, we'd like to cancel...
We give you four choices. One, if you'd like to upgrade to high-speed AOL for broadband, press 1.
Nope, no.
2, if you have a comment or suggestion for AOL, press 2.
No.
3, if you'd like to pay your bill over the phone, press 3.
How about a cancel?
If you'd like to cancel, press 4.
What?
I'm sorry, can we hear that again?
I'm sorry, you pressed 4. That must have been an accident.
No, no.
That's for canceling your AOL account.
Right.
We'll give you another chance. For 1, press 1.
What?
For 2.
I don't even understand that. What do you mean for 1, press 1?
We'll upgrade your AOL account to high speed. Press 1.
No, we just want 4.
For a comment or suggestion.
Hit 4 again.
Two.
Just hit 4 again. Let's get
to
past
pay
this
your bill,
menu.
Press 3. You pressed 44.
No.
That's nothing.
I pressed 4.
44 is not an option.
I pressed 4 several times.
One, to upgrade for broadband.
I don't want
to
upgrade.
One.
Come on.
Two, right, for
just
a common
Kevin, hit 4 just once. Just hit it once.
To pay your bill, press 3. Hey, what are you doing?
Canceling.
You hit 4 again.
Right.
That's to cancel your AOL account.
Right.
That's insane. Nobody wants to cancel AOL.
We do.
We're the best internet provider on the internet.
Cancel us.
To take it back, press 5.
No, we don't want to take it back. How do we continue? How do we continue?
If you'd like to upgrade to broadband,
no!
Press 2. A comment suggestion, press... Okay, you want to quit AOL.
Yes.
All right, here are your choices.
All right. Okay, finally.
If you've come to your senses and realize you don't want to quit AOL, press 1.
No, that's not it at all.
If you realize what a horrible mistake you've made in deciding to quit AOL, press 2.
No, we want to quit.
If you'd like some time to think about it, maybe sleep on it overnight, press 3.
We called to cancel.
If you'd like to get a new AOL account, press 4.
No.
If you'd like to sign up friends and neighbors for AOL, press 5.
What about canceling?
If you decided you really want to cancel,
yes,
hang up.
Hang up. That won't work.
All right, press 6.
You know, we live in a city where you run into celebrities all the time.
Yep.
You got the TV industry here. You got the movie industry here. You got the music industry. I mean, pretty much there are celebrities everywhere you go. And you kind of know where they are, too. You know which restaurants they eat at and where they shop and all that kind of stuff. But occasionally you'll come across a celebrity, and it's not quite what you expected. It's not really the oh wow moment that you were hoping for.
That guy is as great as I thought he would be.
Yes, even better. I can't believe he was so nice.
Yeah.
So we had a story from Bean's wife a couple of days ago on Ray Parker Jr.'s birthday. It's a big birthday celebration.
Ray Parker Jr. was a pop singer, R&B pop singer, back in the 80s. And he's most popular probably today for Ghostbusters, if you've ever seen that movie. He's the guy that sang the theme song to Ghostbusters, big number one hit. And he was pretty popular for a number of years, although not so much anymore. But at the time, he was a pretty big star, I guess.
Who are you going to call? Come on, everybody knows Ray Parker Jr.
Of course.
So Bean's wife had a run-in with him when she was 15. And this is the story that she told. And then we're going to look for your... bad celebrity run-in stories at 1-800-520-1067.
When I was 15 years old, I worked at a little ice cream shop at Magic Mountain, and it was my job to scoop out the ice cream and put it in a little dish or a cone and give it to the client.
Right.
So Ray Parker Jr. comes in, and he orders a root beer float. And they were like $1.50 for the small, $1.75 for medium, $2 for large, you know, like 25 cents difference.
Right.
Well, he wants the small one, mm-hmm. but he wants an extra scoop of ice cream.
And the small one.
And I say, I can't give you an extra scoop of ice cream because that's the next size up. That'll be 25 cents. And he goes, well, I don't want the next size up. I just want another scoop of ice cream. And I'm 15 years old. This is my first job. I have like a work permit. I've been there about a week. So I'm terrified to lose this job.
Yeah.
And he just starts screaming at me. Wants to see the manager, and I said, sir, I'm so sorry, but I have to charge you the 25 cents if you want the extra scoop. And he goes, put the mother effing ice cream in the cup, you bitch. And he hurled the root beer float at me.
He threw it at you?
He hurled it at me.
Did you know who he was at the time?
Well, he made sure that we knew who he was by saying, "Don't you know who I am? I'm Ray Parker Jr. I wrote that Ghostbusters song."
Wow. So there you go. That's good times right there.
I wrote that Ghostbusters song.
Don't you know who you're going to call? That's me.
That's so sad.
So you go home at the end of the day. How was your day, honey? Well, I had a root beer float thrown at me by the guy who said Ghostbusters. So that's the kind of bad celebrity encounter that is exactly what we're looking for at 1-800-520-1067. Because let's face it, every time you run into a celebrity, it can't be perfect, right?
Yeah, especially with some of the celebrities that are out there. Mm-hmm. So we'll take your bad celebrity sightings when we get back on K-Rock.
We're talking about those celebrity encounters that maybe didn't leave you feeling positively about the celebrity. The example we gave is my wife was on the air a couple days ago telling a story about when she was a teenager working the working the food stand at Magic Mountain, and Ray Parker Jr., the singer of Ghostbusters, threw a root beer float at her. And that's kind of getting us started here at 1-800-520-1067. What happened to you?
Chris and Colton, good morning.
Hey, good morning, party people.
So you came across Coolio.
Yes, I was working at Mountain High in the kitchen, and he came in and wanted to make himself a burrito. Mm-hmm. So they set him up in the back room on a table, right? And he's pretty nice at first. Came in, grabbed me by my shirt, pulled me over to the table he was at. Okay, so first off, I'm completely terrified.
Chris, if you don't mind just backing up a second, why did he have to make his own burrito?
Because he wanted to.
Okay. All right.
He had to make it on his own.
So he grabs you.
Dude, that's how they do it in Gangster's Paradise.
Anyways, he told me he wanted chicken, lettuce, onion, tomatoes, and something else. Can't remember off the top of my head. So I go and I grab him some chicken, you know, like they have them in the pan. He grabs a piece of the chicken out of the pan and flicks it at me and says, "No, I want it fresh."
Oh, yes.
I'm stunned. Son, because all of our fresh chicken is frozen. So I'm like, all right, you know, I'll get you a bag of frozen chicken.
That's too much time in the kitchen with Coolio. I'm sorry.
I'm stunned that Coolio was at Mountain High. That's what I'm stunned.
Exactly. Chris, thank you for the call. We got a bunch of others we need to get to. Let's move along to, let's go to Kimmy in Alhambra. We're talking about bad run-ins with celebrities. Hi, Kimmy. What celebrity did you run into?
Good morning. Hi, Lisa.
Good morning.
We were at the Troubadour watching my uncle's band play, and we were all outside having a cigarette, and one of my cousins runs in and says, "Oh, hey, you know, one of our other cousins was having a drink with Judd Nelson." Oh. And we were like, "Wow, Judd Nelson? That's kind of random."
Mm-hmm.
So we all kind of go inside, and a friend of mine, you know, we walk up to him, and he, like, puts his hand out to shake his hand.
Right.
And he shook his hand. And then, you know, I went up to him to shake his hand, and he kind of just looked at me, and I was thinking, gosh, what a jerk. He's not going to shake my hand. All of a sudden, he gives me a hug, and, like, with one hand, he undoes my bra strap.
Come on. That's talent right there.
Yeah, and it was like I was wearing a shirt where my cousin had to, like, come over and, like, you know, fix it real quick. And by the time I turned around, he was already gone.
That's really funny. He had to have done that on purpose, right?
Oh,
had to
yes.
have. That's so yeah. funny.
Judd Nelson, by the way, from St. Elmo's Fire and The Breakfast Club and a bunch of 80s movies. I think he was on some TV show in the 90s, too.
Suddenly
but
Susan.
Suddenly Susan, that was it. You don't see much of him anymore, that's for sure.
Thank God, how'd you come up with this stuff?
Suddenly Susan.
Big nostrils.
Nomi Nami in Los Angeles. Hi.
Hi, Nomi. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Who did you
run
into? By the way,
I ran into Mel Gibson, actually, when I used to live in New York City. I was still a little kid at the time.
Right.
I was with my mom and my dad, and they were filming Ransom with Gary Sinise, directed
right.
by Ron Howard, and this is after, like, the bloody gunshot scene, you know, where he, like, comes out of the window. He watched the whole thing, and anyway, we're standing by his trailer, and he had just filmed for about an hour, so he wasn't, I mean, it was in the middle of the day. He hadn't been, you know, in, like, that long of a day or anything
right.
working, but we stood by his trailer. I kind of off, you know, to the side, and there are these two girls that went right up to him, like right up to the door, waiting for him to come out with paper and their little Sharpies.
Right.
And once he came out of the trailer, you know, they freaked out. I'm like, "Oh, can I have an autograph?" You know, like any fans would. And he just kind of stood there and looked at both of them and said, "How many of you are there?"
Well, how many were
and
there?
He just kind of, you know.
How many were there, Nomi? How many people were there?
There are two.
Two?
It would be two girls and people off on the side because they wouldn't, you know, go near him.
How
but
many
anyway,
are there? That's
the worst part was he took these papers out of the girl's hand, signed them, and basically threw it. Like, one of them he just tossed to. The other one he pushed it. He, like, shoved it right in her chest.
Yeah.
Like, pushed it there.
Nice.
Slammed
Listen
the door
to Mike. He's so happy Mel Gibson dominated a teenager. How many of you are there? All of two?
It's funny because Mel Gibson is the exact opposite guy you would expect to encounter. I mean,
generally speaking.
Yeah, and who knows, by the way, you know, that telling of the story, who knows how true it is or what the circumstances were of what was going on in Mel Gibson's life or anything like that, what kind of day he was having. But it's not what you expect when you run into Mel Gibson, that's for sure.
Speaking of telling stories, if you could start 10 seconds before the incident,
that would help.
We were at a bar, we were seeing a band, and I went out to have a smoke, and then a guy went back in, then he saw another guy.
Seriously, just get to the celebrity part.
Just get to the part where something bad happened.
We don't need the co-star and director of the movie?
No, we don't need any of that. Thank
Mike
you, though.
In Long Beach, good morning.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Good, hi, thanks. Mike. What celebrity did you have a run-in with?
Reggie Jackson. Went to get autographs from the team, finished that up. He was coming out of another entrance away from the parking. Other side of the stadium, and walked all the way around with him, you know, had a great conversation with him. We walked to his car because I had a ballpoint pen and he had a Sharpie, which would have looked better on the ball. Opened up the car door, jumped in, and drove off.
Oh, my God.
There you go, Reggie. Hey, by the way, he's still laughing about that.
He made the right call. That's awesome. All right, let's go to John and Aliso Viejo. Hi.
John. Kevin Bean, Lisa May, Pupazow for
Pupazow.
One.
Pupazow.
To you as well. Who did you run into?
Johnny Knoxville, man. A trash waste. I mean, the guy must have been hammered off every drug in the world.
No!
Oh, the guy is just lit.
All right.
My little sister, who's 17, walks up to him with my mom, me, and her, and says, hey, can I get your autograph or a picture with you? And he looks her up and down and says, you can get whatever you want with me. And my mom's like, excuse me? And he's like, oh, sorry, Mom. So he's like, let me get that picture. I had two beers in his hands. Swings his arm around my sister. Beers all over my mom.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That is so Johnny Knoxville and so what you expect when you run into him.
That's really a daily occurrence with him, I think.
Yeah, no kidding. That's fantastic.
Let's go to Whitney. Good morning, Whitney.
Good morning, Popo's out. Kevin and B. Hi, Lisa.
Hello.
So you're a Magic Mountain. Who did you run into?
Robbie Williams.
Now, this is a huge...
Line, and him and his entourage come up right in front of us as we're about to get on, and we start saying, hey, you know, get back in the back of line. And he turns around and just spits right at us.
Robbie Williams spit.
Yeah.
Spitting, spitting rules. That's good news right there. Wow, Robbie Williams, a huge singer in England. He's not so big here, but wow, to get spit, that rules.
That is disgusting.
Dave in Valley Village, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, and I ran into Burt Bacharach. I had to kick him out of one of my porn stores.
I'm sorry.
Now, for folks who don't know the name, Burt Bacharach, very popular songwriter mostly, also sings a bit, but songwriter from the 60s, and he was in a porn store buying what?
Yeah, I was a district manager for a couple porn stores here in the Valley, and we had to close the store down for about an hour because we had a problem, and I made an announcement and told everybody that if they wanted to buy something, they had to buy it now. Anyhow, about 10 minutes into it, he comes walking up the counter with a stack of porn mags, and wants to buy them, and I said, you know, I can't sell these to you now. You're going to have to wait about a half hour. And he pulls out his ID and stuff. He goes, man, I'm effing Burt Bacharach, and slammed the thing down on the table. And I was like, man, I don't care who you are, but, you know, just get the hell out of the store.
Yeah.
Dude, when he says what the world needs now is love, he means he needs love right now.
My God, he really wanted his porn. Sometimes you got to have your porn.
That's right.
All right, Lisa, we're saving the best for last. You ready for JC in Sherman Oaks?
Not really.
Hi, JC.
Go ahead, JC.
How you guys doing? Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Yeah. All right, good deal. I had a run-in with Tori Spelling, and it was a really horrible run-in, to say the least. I was over at Dimples Karaoke Bar in Burbank.
Right.
And
sure.
She came in with her entourage and quickly shuffled my friend and I over into the corner because of their huge entourage.
Right.
Realized very quickly it was her birthday, and she was essentially way drunk, like to the point where her eyes were virtually rolling up and her head drunk. And
allegedly.
What's that?
I said, go ahead.
Okay. And to make it worse, she started doing a little sort of hottie dance with her hottie friend out on the dance floor, just her and her friend right in front of me and my friend, which
right.
was sitting on the edge.
Mm-hmm.
She turns around, starts basically doing essentially a private dance for us, hiking up her tiny little skirt, come to realize no underwear. And not only was it her birthday, but it was also her time of the month.
Oh! Oh!
I just threw up.
Stop.
Horrible.
I was wishing I had my spy camera with me. Oh. I would have made $1 million in National
Enquirer.
I'll
repeat this in the name of the Lord.
Oh. I just threw up.
That's not good.
It was horrible.
A lot of people in the audience looked pissed.
First, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Hello, turn my microphone on. Nice work, Sucko Mike.
Sorry about that.
Good work. Hey, it's Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:57 here on a Thursday morning. Week's almost over. You're listening to the best of Kevin and Bean. Those guys are on vacation. They'll be back on Monday. In the meantime, let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? Before I get to that, let's give away some tickets to the world premiere of Grindhouse. I can't wait to see this movie. It is a double bill. A double feature of thrillers directed by Quentin Tarantino and Robert Rodriguez. Quentin's film is called Death Proof, starring Kurt Russell and his Car of Death, and Robert Rodriguez's Planet Terror stars Bruce Willis, amongst others. It is opening in theaters on April the 6th. However, you might be able to go to the red carpet world premiere, which will be Monday, March 26th. Pretty cool event. Quentin and Robert will both be there, along with the stars Kurt Russell, Rosario Dawson, Freddie Rodriguez, Rose McGowan, Josh Brolin. If you'd like to go, here's a little piece of trivia for you. Quentin Tarantino, many times nominated for an Academy Award, has only won once. What was that award? And for which film did he win it? Please call now, 1-800-520-1067. If you're the first person to get through with the correct answer, you've won yourself a pair of tickets to go see the red carpet world premiere of Grindhouse. Showbiz news. Another superhero movie in the works, according to Sony's Columbia Pictures. They have announced as of yesterday that they are working on a big screen version of The Green Hornet.
What's the Green Hornet's deal?
Well, some of you may not be familiar with The Green Hornet, but he is a superhero that's been around since 1936.
Ooh.
Made his debut on radio, first as a radio show, and then went into comic books and newspaper strips and even television. In 1966, there was a Green Hornet TV series with Bruce Lee as Kato, his faithful sidekick. But Green Hornet is basically sort of like a Batman kind of dude. He's a newspaper publisher, mm-hmm. a rich dude who fights crime at night dressed as the Green Hornet with his sidekick, Kato, who is actually his manservant, his valet, named Kato. And I have no idea how the bad guys never put those two together. It's like, wait a minute, Britt Reed's got a butler named Kato, and Green Hornet got a guy named Kato. They're both Kato.
Silly villains.
Yes. So, no word yet on who will play the Green Hornet and or Kato, but should be good. For a long time, Kevin Smith was attached to this project. They asked him to write and direct this feature film, and he dabbled with it for a while, then passed on it, so no word yet on who will be directing or writing yet, but they have announced they are putting the Green Hornet in the works.
Good to know.
We have a winner, believe it or not.
Already?
Yep.
Wow, who are we talking to, Psycho Mike?
We are talking to Patricia in Azusa.
Patricia?
Yes?
For what film and what Oscar did Quentin Tarantino win?
He won for Pulp Fiction, the screenplay.
Best original screenplay. You're absolutely right. Stay on the line and we'll give you all the details. You're going to see the world premiere Grindhouse.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Paris Hilton sex tape rumor. Just wouldn't be a day in showbiz news without
one. Nope.
This one comes to us from MediaTakeout.com, which is a website that literally shows a picture of Paris Hilton with CeeLo from Gnarls Barkley in a compromising position. Listeners have emailed me. Reportedly, MediaTakeout.com had to take down the image due to threatened legal action.
That was my next question. Had you seen the pictures?
I have not. I went to see that because I thought that would be quite a visual.
It's compromising position, so vague. It could be many things.
But apparently it's no longer up. So sadly, you have to use your imagination or wait until the video comes out. And I guess it's a good deal that Tori Spelling reconciled with her mom, Candy Spelling, after the birth of her daughter. Not only does this mean that the baby boy will have the emotional support of her grandmother, but there's some financial rewards as well. In Touch magazine reports that Candy has reportedly set up a $10 million trust fund for the boy.
Ooh.
$10 million in a trust fund today that he'll probably be able to cash out on when he's about 21. What do you think that'll be worth in 21 years with interest?
I mean,
he won't have to
be safe, you know, 20.
He won't have to work. Bastard.
Bastard.
Why couldn't my parents be rich? And Vivica A. Fox, you know her from Dancing with the Stars, also from Kill Bill. Well, she was arrested on Tuesday night for suspicion of drunk driving. She was stopped speeding on the 101 freeway in her Escalade And cops also noticed she was unable to maintain lane position. That's a bad thing, right? When you can't maintain a lane?
Yeah.
Apparently, cops pulled her over, asked her to perform a field sobriety test, in which she was unable to satisfactorily perform. I love how these cops give these responses to the reporters, you know? Oh, she was loaded. That's what they should say.
Yeah.
Leah, a breath test was indicated, and the presence of alcohol was greater than 0.08, of course, the California legal limit. So, no word on what they'll be charging her with, but it looks like bad news for Vivica A. Fox.
Stop it, Vivica.
Who also was in Kill Bill, directed by Quentin Tarantino. See how it all comes back around again.
You're amazing.
God bless you, Psycho Mike. Today's celebrity birthdays, Reese Witherspoon's 31 years old today. Lena Olin, who was Arina Derevko on Alias, she's 52 years old today. Matthew Modine, very talented actor. Did you ever see Vision Quest?
No.
You ever saw Vision Quest where he's going to be a wrestler?
No.
He's training to be a wrestler? Oh, you'd love it. It's like Rocky with wrestling.
I'm going to rent that today.
And Linda Fiorentino's in it, the smoking hot Linda Fiorentino?
You know, the only thing I can think of off the top of my head I know Modine from is Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah, it's probably his biggest film. But Married to the Mob, he was in that too. He's done a bunch of movies. Real good. He's 48 years old today. Bob Costas. One of my favorite sportscasters. Love him on that HBO NFL show. He's
good show. On that.
He's 55 years old today. And William Shatner.
Oh.
One of the legends in the entertainment business. He was, of course, Captain Kirk. Can be seen now as Denny Crane on Boston Legal. He was T.J. Hooker.
Oh. With Adrian Zmed.
Oh, T.J. Hooker and Adrian Zmed. We got to get Zmed on the show before Kevin and Bean get back. Maybe get an interview with him. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It's one thing I don't understand about explosive news reports like the one that we're about to talk about. It's just like the story about Paul McCartney's wife and those photos that are just now being released.
Right.
After something's in the news for years, why does somebody wake up one day and go, ah, today's the day. I'm finally going to break my silence. How do you sit on stuff for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, and then all of a sudden, oh, yeah, I've got something I forgot to tell you about somebody really famous?
I don't know, but this story has come out about George W. Bush, and it's a story from 1984, allegedly.
Exactly. Now, before we even tell you what the story is, bear in mind that 1984 came and went and nobody said anything. 1990 came and went. 1995, 2000, 2005. Now somebody says, wait a minute, that's the same guy.
This might have come up in 2000 when he was running for president, but it apparently didn't. So we thought we'd check in with Mr. Bush and just find out exactly what's going on. Good morning, Mr. President.
Good morning, Kevin Bean. How are you?
We are good. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for joining us. I don't know if you are familiar with the story that we're going to ask you about, but apparently there is a woman in Las Vegas who says that back in the 80s, Mr. Bush, she was paid to arrange sexual liaisons with bisexual men, and you were one of them.
It's just ridiculous. I am not bisexual.
You're not bisexual?
It's hard work, having sex with both sexes.
Right.
And I don't do it.
Now, this was 1984. I guess they were having Senate debates. Al Gore was one of the guys in the Senate debate. And one of the other guys, Victor Ash, I guess, is the guy that allegedly you and he were having sex with a woman.
This is ridiculous. Can't believe this story's coming out now. I got to go. I'm a little busy, though, guys. I can't really talk about it right now, okay?
You, right? You don't have time?
What are you talking about, George?
Bend over. Ow! Freshie! Oh.
Wait a minute. What's going on, Mr. President?
Nothing.
That sounded like shotgun in the background. You're vice president.
No, nothing. Ouch.
So is it true, then?
The idea that I would be with a dominatrix or be with another man actually repulses me. Oh, dear God.
What, Mr. President,
I don't even know what that is.
I don't even know what that sound is.
Take it, bitch.
this
ow.
Woman.
That was a bandsaw.
Oh, man.
That's hardcore sex right there.
Wow.
This woman says.
Some cabinets.
Right. That she was paid $15,000 to arrange sexual liaisons for bisexual men, including you, sir. And also that there were three separate encounters in three different cities all during 1984. And it seems so crazy, but now that I've got you on the phone, maybe not so crazy.
You're a very bad boy.
Mr. President.
With lasers.
Wow. I didn't know you guys had lasers yet.
I am a futuristic pervert.
Mr. Bush, does Laura know anything about this? Is the first lady involved in any of the sex play?
I don't know what you're referring to.
Well, it sounds to us like this dominatrix is telling the truth because it sounds like you and the vice president have a little something going on right now.
We are just busy governing the country. It's hard work. And sometimes you have to use bandsaws and laser beams to get it done.
That's how you govern?
That's right, the spicy, spicy laser beam.
What? Is that a hammer?
Hammer and nail.
Oh, man.
I'm not going anyplace anytime soon, that's for sure.
Okay, well, we'll have
to... Oh, that's better. missed you.
We've heard a lot of great calls about medical injuries over the years, and I've come to the conclusion that the only thing worse than an injury is a penis injury.
50-year-old scientist burned his penis on a laptop.
Yay!
He was typing with it so fast that it caught fire.
It's on fire! He noticed a redness and irritation the following day after he had used the laptop. I guess he sat there and typed for about an hour and a half. Now, I've done this many times.
Where you put the laptop on your lap?
Yeah.
Was he pantsless?
No.
He's wearing pants.
Says he was wearing, well, in this story, trousers and underpants, which are what they say for 50-year-olds.
Wow.
And, you know, I think maybe his laptop got a lot hotter than it was supposed to for mm-hmm. some reason. But he noticed a redness and irritation the following day. He went to the doctor. A couple of days later, I'm going to spare you some of the gory details. Because
share the gories, dude.
I'm not a big fan of gore, but blisters.
Yeah?
Burn blisters on his penis. That's how bad it was burned from the laptop.
Wow.
What a jackass.
It just seemed like he's out of touch.
He really didn't feel that coming?
Yeah, that does seem serious enough that you would notice it at the time rather than just after the fact. That's like not knowing you've been shot.
That's crazy.
Lisa, have you ever injured a penis?
Well, you know, occasionally you bend them really hard in one direction by accident, but other than that, no.
You know, they're not stick shifts, right?
Oopsie, sorry.
That's painful. Let's take a few phone calls because this seems to happen more than we're comfortable with, mm-hmm. doesn't it?
Yeah.
Jason and Brea, good morning.
Morning.
What did you do to yours?
Well, I was at work. I'm a union iron worker, and we do a lot of welding and cutting of metal, and I was in a position to be doing it above myself, and a hot flashes came down, went down my shirt, and happened to burn about three little holes in my... pecker.
Oh my God!
Bad thing about it was when I got home, my girlfriend thought I was cheating on her and developed a herpes complex or something. So it led to a nice little argument.
Really, you couldn't convince her it was hot metal?
Well, you know, it wasn't it. She just wasn't going for it. I don't know. I guess my track record in the past wasn't going working for me. So,
man, oh man,
that is funny. Now, was there any kind of permanent damage, or did it heal up okay?
Healed up all right, but I got some little Mi Vida Loca scars down there.
Oh, I bet.
God, that's unbelievable. I used to weld, believe it or not. And and when you cut the pipe, those pieces that fly off there are on fire.
Yeah, they are.
And they just touch the back of your neck and you jump 10 feet. I can't imagine them landing on your penis.
They're nice when they're glowing red and then it lets your penis cool them down for it.
Oh, my God.
That's what you get for welding naked, man.
You should have thought of that.
Let's take the sting out of burning your penis and go with Eric, who had a frozen dick story.
All right. Eric in Burbank. Good morning.
Good morning.
How do you freeze it?
It was the freeze pack, and then somehow it leaked over the night, and it leaked all over, and I guess whatever's inside burned them up pretty good.
It was a what pack?
The cold pack.
I see.
You break up, and then they instantly get cold.
Right. What was he putting it on to begin with?
On his upper thigh, on the muscle that he pulled playing softball.
Oh, I see.
Oh, okay.
And it broke during the night and fell on his
leaked.
And on his penis, and he couldn't feel it and wake up?
You know, I guess he had a couple drinks before he went to bed, and then when he, you know, because he had the full muscle, and then he woke up, it was all over.
That's funny.
And what kind of damage does that do to the unit?
Well, he didn't work the next day, but he came in the following day, and it was all like looked like second-degree burns.
Oh, my God. Did he spend the whole day going, hey, everybody, look at this. You'll never believe what I did. All right, thank you, Eric. Hold on for your T-shirt, okay? Don't go away. Oh, my God. Dan?
How you doing?
Good, thank you. All these people, by the way, are their, quote, friend, unquote.
Sure. Didn't happen to them as much as their friend. Now, what's your friend's story, Dan?
My friend Mike, he has this dog that's really, really protective. And if you act like you're going to fight him or, like, that person actually you're going to fight somebody else, the dog just attacks you.
Right.
So he was acting, my friend Mike was acting like the dog was attacking me. He ended up biting his dick. it just jumped up and chomped his nads, and it put a hole right through the side of his penis.
Oh my God.
So we had to go to the emergency room, and it was kind of an interesting one to explain to the nurses. But,
no kidding.
But, like, right through the side, like, right towards where the shaft kind of meets the body.
I don't think that is painful. Two words, painful.
They didn't put the dog down or anything bad like that, did they?
No.
No, but they put the penis down.
Yeah, exactly. Once they got the penis out of his mouth, and put the dog down.
Wow. Thanks for the call. Hold on for your T-shirt. I remember that time I had to go to the emergency room when I fell on that vacuum cleaner hose?
Yeah,
I remember but that just fell, that's all. But it didn't do any kind of serious damage. I just couldn't get it out.
Yeah. All right, let's take a nurse. Jennifer.
I don't know why I decided to call in. I just felt like, you know, America needed to hear this.
You work in the emergency room? Is that where you've seen these things?
I see lots of things. But this is where I saw this particular guy, and this is a grown man in his 20s, was taking his temperature with a rectal thermometer down his urethra.
No! Why was he taking his temperature there?
Because he's a moron.
He really thought that's what he's supposed to do?
And it broke. It's to make sure it broke. And this is why he ended up in the emergency room, because
it broke off?
It broke inside. He was able to extract the top part, you know, the part that would just slide right out. But
God.
The other part was jammed inside. Of course, it's glass, and there's mercury inside of it.
Okay. This is the worst thing I've ever heard. You can't top this.
Did you laugh at him?
No, you can't laugh.
Oh, Jennifer.
You have to go in the lounge and laugh it off. You can't laugh in front of the patient.
Was it? Did it require a surgery? How did they clean him up? Oh, surgery.
They had to call a surgeon in, and it was 2:00 in the morning, you know, and they literally had to slice it open.
Okay, I don't think we need any more details, because this is too painful for us to listen to.
Hey, Jennifer, let me ask you this: you can only guess, I suppose, unless he told you. But do you think that he really was trying to take his temperature and he was just a moron, or do you think there was some sort of sexual urge going on that he was trying to scratch?
I asked him, and he said he was actually trying to take his temperature because he didn't want to shove it in his anus.
Right. Why did he try under his tongue? Why did he try that?
I asked him. I'm like, you know, the armpit, under the tongue, there's lots of well, because this is a rectal thermometer, and it has to go down here. So,
wow.
So he just figured any opening down there was as good as any other opening, right?
Oh, man.
I love that.
Kevin, you got a party with Jennifer next time you go to Vegas.
No kidding.
You know someone there now.
No kidding. Have fun in Vegas, Jennifer. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks for calling. Bye-bye.
Man, I don't. We don't have
that's
time
great.
For all. Of
I know
these.
We got so many. I want to hear about the guy's dick who snapped in half. I want to hear about that. We'll get to it. Plus, we'll get to the drill. But first, Jason, Los Angeles.
Good morning. You spilled what on your penis?
Sulfuric acid.
That's what I'm talking about. Sulfuric acid, everybody.
What were you doing with that?
Well, I used to be a beekeeper, and and this acid they used to drive down the bees so we can rob the honey.
Right.
Uh huh.
And, well, this bottle had been sitting in a crate outside. And, you know, when plastic gets sitting in the sun for a while, it just breaks up. Well, I picked up the box, and it broke up, and it spilled all over my crotch.
Oh, my God.
And all I could do was grab it and just try to create some kind of different pain. I was just squeezing it, you know. I was like,
That was your answer, is to create more pain in the same area?
I had to create a different kind of pain. It was bad. I mean, it felt like somebody was holding a lighter underneath my balls.
Oh.
And I guess you look around for a swimming pool. That's your first choice, because that's
exactly.
Some relief. Yeah.
All I could find was a water spigot. Dropped my shorts from my ankles and stood there.
Dude, is that why you gave up beekeeping?
Yeah, that's why I became an elevator guy instead.
A what?
Elevator guy.
Oh, elevator guy. Yeah.
Okay.
You're gonna get us.
All right, Jason.
Gonna get us stuck in a door soon. Clay in Corona. Good morning.
Hey, how's it going?
Very good, thank you. This is not you. This is your buddy, huh?
Yeah. True story. My buddy, back in high school, he was working on his motorcycle, and he had a drill, and the drill bit, he kind of brought it up towards his nads like he was drilling himself, and it caught his pants. And it just, you know how a drill is, it just kept going, and it tore right into his scrotum and tore him up really bad.
Oh, my God.
The thing is, he didn't really say anything about it. He ended up going inside, and he took his underwear and threw it in the hamper, and his mom saw his bloody underwear sitting there, so he waits till his dad gets home, tells his dad, and his dad takes him to the hospital that evening.
Oh, because he was too embarrassed to tell anyone?
Oh, he didn't want to say anything. Not at all. He was out of school for like 3 days. When he finally showed up, it was
it was all over school.
He drilled his own scrotum. He should have been on the movie Jackass.
Yeah, he was thinking he was just doinking around. As soon as it caught his pants, man, it ripped right into him.
That's funny. I can't take anymore.
Those are some painful stories. I'm scringing right now.
Yes, they are. I'm scringing too. K-Rock.
I'm sure if you're like us, you've had the exact same thought every time you've seen Kevin Federline and Britney Spears on the news, which is, I don't know which one of them to feel more sorry for, because really they're both in such bad situations with who they have to be married to.
Oh, clearly her.
You feel worse for her than you do for him?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Clearly.
It's tough, I think.
Yeah.
But the happy kids have been together what now? It seems like they've been together like a year or something, maybe not married quite that long, but we've been hearing they've had some trouble. And they're working on a plan to get their marriage back on track. We thought we'd get an update from the happy lovers right now. Good morning, guys.
Hey, y'all. Morning.
Brandy, how's little Sean Preston? What's he up to this morning?
Oh, he's so adorable. He just, like, burped and farted everywhere. He's just like his daddy.
Yeah. Burp and fart. Booyaka.
Is it true that we read that that your husband tried to pierce your kid's ears? Is that the story true?
Yeah. He didn't even, like, ask me and some stuff. He's like, bud, taking the kid. I was like, what? What kid?
Next is the tattoo. I don't understand the problem. Like I've told you many times before, you're born a G. No. You know what I'm saying? You're born a G.
Kevin, I told you need to communicate more with Brittany about making choices about your children.
All right, Dr. Wait. Phil, my bad.
Something
Dr. Phil.
You have to share and work on together.
Wait a second here. Dr. Phil, are you on the phone with Brittany and Kevin?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Well, we're good. Well, that was the next story we were going to bring up, as we heard that Britney Spears and Kevin Federline were going to see you for help in their marriage.
I've moved in with them so I can work around the clock, 24 hours a day, to try to get their dog to hunt.
He felt like we were the type of couple that was labor intensive. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So he moved in, and it's awesome.
I like it. Really? I like it. Dr. Feezy. He's a doctor.
Sure. Brittany, how come you like having Dr. Phil around? It seemed like it would be a little crowded there with all of you living in the same place.
Dr. Phil is teaching us to smart. You need to love smart
you
and stuff.
You need to love smart.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
Not loving dumbly, loving smartly.
Brittany, give us a little more info on that.
Well, I got my work cut out for me here. Yeah.
Dr. Phil, how long have you been living with the happy couple?
We've been here about 2 weeks, round the clock, 24 hours a day treatment.
Wow.
And I think it's helping.
Really? You think their marriage can be saved?
Nope. What is your problem?
I don't know what you're talking about, man. I don't know what you're talking about. You know what I'm saying? I'm just trying to live my life. You know what I'm saying? Coming up every day, keeping my head up like a thug.
Are Kevin and Brittany open to your suggestions, Dr. Phil?
They are open, and we talk about it, and then they forget everything I just said.
Right.
It's like talking, well, to Kevin, quite frankly.
Dr. Phil, what would you say, and I hate to simplify the relationship that they have, but what would you say is their biggest problem? Is it a lack of communication, lack of respect, lack of equality? What?
Well, I've tried to simplify and to narrow in on the main source of their problem.
And what's that?
I think if you work on the largest problem, the smaller ones tend to fix themselves.
Okay.
And I think the biggest difficulty they're running into in their relationship is they're both retards. And two retards together, you just get a big retarded relationship.
And Brittany, what do you get out of that?
I learned that it's not my first rodeo from Dr. Phil.
Uh-huh. Right, it's not your first rodeo.
It's not my first rodeo because it's my second marriage and second time's a charm, according to the Dalai Lama and Madonna and everybody that I'm reading in Kabbalah. And I'm trying to get deep, guys. I'm trying to get
really
serious.
And love smart.
Smart, Kevin.
Love smart. What does that mean, Brittany? Explain love smart to us.
Love smartly is not dumbly. So it's like using your brain and stuff when you're talking and you're like, okay, I've got the baby. I'm going to get in the car. Does the baby get in shotgun? No. The baby has to be strapped down like NASCAR.
Ooh. That's right. You got that right.
Put the child in the car seat.
Dr. Phil, you have to be happy hearing her talk like that. It sounds like you're getting through.
No, she won't remember in four minutes.
Okay.
Well, that's right. Next thing you know, the kid's on top of the car. She's driving away from Starbucks with her purse and the child on the roof.
Ooh, Starbucks. Yeah.
All right. Try to pay attention, Brittany. Listen, one more thing. Kevin Federline, as an artist, I know every time we talk to you, it seems like whatever's going on in your life finds its way into your work. Has that been the case with Dr. Phil in the house?
Oh, for Sheezy. You know what I'm saying? In fact, just a week ago, I convinced Dr. Feezy to go with me
to the studio, the Disco D studio, you know what I'm saying? Because I was like, I felt like he's become such a big part of my life.
Right.
You know, and probably the biggest thing in my life is my art.
Of course, you know what I'm saying? You're
so
an artist.
I wanted to include him in it.
Okay.
And we were riding the Escalade over to Disco D's, I found out we have a lot more in common than you would think. You know what I'm saying? We started talking about, like, how he came up,
uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying, as a doctor and right. in the show business.
Right.
And then how I came up.
You guys have nothing in common.
That's what you think.
Now, it turns out Kevin and I are a lot more alike than I would have suspected.
Is that right? Okay.
It is.
Now, did you watch him while he was in the studio making this song?
No, we did. I did a song with him.
He collaborated. Collaborate.
Dr. Phil, you're on the song.
Hope Ho's Out.
Fantastic. What's this called?
This is called Two Peas in a Pod.
I don't know, Kevin. I'm not much of a rapper.
Oh, come on, Dr. Phil. You know what I'm saying? Hip-hop comes from within.
Well, I do have a lot of heart. All right, I'll give it a try. Let's see how it sounds. We're two peas in a pod. We live off women. If money is the juice,
a female is the lemon.
Gotta squeeze to get what you need. Two coattailing douchebags fueled by greed. Well, they call me Dr. Phil. I give bad advice. I got my head in Oprah's ass like a board in a vice.
And I'm K-Fed. Britney pays my bills. I moved from Fresno to the Hollywood Hills.
Coming out of Texas, like George W., my lack of compassion just might trouble you. Getting a divorce or your mother should die. I'll charge you lots of money, then tell you not to cry.
I'm a dope-smoking wigger with a white trash flare. Pants around my ankles, braids in my hair.
What is your problem? That's my catchphrase.
I got the IQ of a monkey in a cage. I bang a fat hoe. Her name is Britney.
I brown nose a black bitch named Oprah Winfrey. With all the parasites of rich fat ladies.
Britney bought my Benz.
Oprah paid for my Mercedes.
Book of the month club, illegitimate kids. Whatever it takes to make it in showbiz. Like it or not, you gotta give us credit.
We keep our hoes in check.
Damn straight.
You said it.
I'm sorry.
We're two peas in a pod. We live off women. If money is the juice,
a female is the lemon.
Gotta squeeze to get what you need. Two coattailing douchebags fueled by greed.
See, Dr. Phil, I told you could flow. Damn.
Well, hot damn. I'm pretty pleased with myself, and I think Oprah's gonna be glad I sound so Negro.
What do you have to say about that?
Booyakaw!
Well, how about that?
Do we or do we not have another genius on our hands?
Wow! How about that?
Our CD drops next month. I hope you all pick it up for shizzle.
Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Will you turn my microphone on? What is wrong with you? It wasn't when I started talking.
Too fast?
Psycho Mike is bad. Hey, it's the Kevin and Bean Show. You're listening to the best of Kevin and Bean. The boys are on vacation this week. However, I'm here all week long giving you the showbiz news in the Showbiz Beat. It is 8:56 here in the world-famous K-Rock. Before I get to today's stories, I've got my last pair of tickets to give away to the world premiere of Grindhouse. Can't wait to see this movie. It is a double bill of thrillers from Quentin Tarantino and Robert Rodriguez. This is a throwback to old school movies in the 70s and 80s when they would have double features of these low budget B movies. And Quentin Tarantino, Robert Rodriguez, both big fans of these types of films. So they did their own. Grindhouse features two films. One is Death Proof. That's the one by Tarantino featuring Kurt Russell as stuntman Mike, a guy who stalks and kills women with his car. And Planet Terror is the Robert Rodriguez movie about an infection that breaks out in a small town and the people who have to hunt them down. It's kind of like a zombie movie, so you can check that out. It opens on Friday, April the 6th. However, I've got one pair of tickets right now to the red carpet world premiere of Grindhouse, Monday, March the 26th, downtown at the Orpheum Theater on Broadway in downtown Los Angeles. Here is your trivia question. Quentin Tarantino, you know, Southern California boy, went to a high school in Harbor City, worked at the Video Archives video store in Manhattan Beach. However, not born here in SoCal. Born someplace else. Name his hometown, his place of birth. 1-800-520-1067 is the phone number. You're the first one to get through with the correct answer. You're going to win yourself a pair of tickets for the world premiere of Grindhouse. Well, Nicole Richie's been diagnosed with a blood disorder called hypoglycemia. Apparently that means that her sugar levels are often too low to provide adequate energy for her body.
Hmm.
That's why she's sick so much. The diagnosis comes off a visit that Nicole had in the hospital about a month ago for dehydration while she was falling ill and filming the new season of her reality show with Paris Hilton. Five times a day, she feels really faint. She almost passed out. She has to go to her trailer for a good part of the day while filming. Apparently, that's what it's from. It's from her hypoglycemia. It's not from the fact that she's starving herself to death and doing copious amounts of alcohol.
No relation. No relation.
Allegedly. So we'll follow that story and keep you up to date on the health crisis of Nicole Richie. Here's a crisis of a different sort. If you didn't get to go to the Kevin Federline 29th birthday party last night, well, you didn't miss a thing. Literally. The party was canceled.
Oh, my God.
Apparently, Kevin Federline tried to get several magazines to sponsor the party. You know, that's when they put their names of the magazine all over the red carpet, on the wall behind the red carpet where people are taking photographs, and they get a lot of publicity out of these kind of things. It was only going to cost $25,000 to throw the party, but no magazines were interested. I guess they figured it's not really publicity if no one gives a rat's ass about the event.
25 grand is nothing for these magazines to get promotion like
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. And they do it all the time for all kinds of lesser events, but no one wanted to hitch their wagon to Kevin Federline. Kevin now is spinning it differently, saying, well, he's decided to focus on his family right now. That's why he didn't want to have a big party for his 29th birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maxim will drop 25 grand for a boat show in Ohio.
Exactly. And, keychains. In free keychains. Justin Timberlake now regrets his Grammy Awards performance where he took a American Idol reject and sang a duet with her. He says that the Grammy people took advantage of him. He didn't really want to do it, but he agreed to it early on. He thought about pulling out, but said it was too late. So he agreed to follow through with what he thought was a bad idea. I'm the nice guy who follows through on things he commits to, he said. But I don't know if I'll be going through that sort of thing again. I feel like the Grammys used me for ratings.
Burn.
Imagine that. Imagine a TV show using someone to try to get ratings for their TV show.
A massive media superstar for
unheard
ratings.
Unheard of. It's unheard of.
We got a winner! Nelly.
Oh, Nelly. Who's our winner, Psycho Mike?
Nick in Costa Mesa.
Nick?
Hey.
Hey, where was Quentin Tarantino born, Nick?
Knoxville, Tennessee.
Knoxville, Tennessee. Home of the 1984 World's Fair. don't ask me why I know that. Hold on, we're going to give you all your details. You're going to the world premiere of Grindhouse.
Awesome, thanks.
Thank you, Nick. And last night on American Idol, Stephanie Edwards was eliminated. She's a pretty talented singer, but there's a couple of African-American ladies who are much better than her, and I think she just got caught up in the voting. That's how it went down. Gwen Stefani will be on the show next week. Nice. She will be mentoring all the Idol wannabes. And then that means that she will get to perform on the vote show as well. So I haven't seen Gwen in a while. It'd be good to see her on television again.
I'm sure Dave will watch American Idol for the first time ever.
Oh, I love Gwen Stefani. If Veronica Mars is on, then I'd even be happier.
Oh, my head would explode.
Oh. Today's celebrity birthdays. Reese Witherspoon turns 31 years old today.
Looks like a dude.
Yeah. Kevin thinks she looks like a dude. So doesn't look like a dude. Bob Costas is 55 years old today. One of the best sportscasters.
Most deaf.
On television. Matthew Modine, who is not only in Full Metal Jacket, but someone reminded me that he was in... I can't remember now. Because I was talking about Vision Quest, how much I loved Vision
right.
Quest. And then you mentioned Full Metal Jacket. And then someone else wrote me with a very interesting movie that I can't remember.
I can tell it made a great impression
yes,
on
it
you.
Did. Anyway, look him up. He's been in a lot of movies. Good actor. 48 years old today. Lena Olin. From Alias and from Chocolat, she is 52 years old.
In Alias,
today.
What was her character?
I believe she was Irina Derevko.
Ah, it's amazing.
Yes, in Alias. And the captain, William Shatner. We've had Bill Shatner on the show plenty of times, and he is just a good guy. Nice man.
Yes, very nice guy.
Talented actor, TV icon, 76 years old today. I am Ralph Garman. Tune in tomorrow all day. We'll have more tickets to give away for the Grindhouse World Premiere, so you're not going to miss Showbiz Beat tomorrow here on The Kevin and Bean Show.
Stop trying. Stop trying. 106.7 KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show. We're still giving away tickets for you to see Coldplay when they play the pond February 7th. You also qualify for that trip for two to see Coldplay in Sydney, Australia. It's KROQ's World Tour 2006 destination number one.
Also coming up just after 8 o'clock, we're going to talk to a young lady who has more writing on the outcome of this afternoon's game than any of us do. And that is, she may have to move to Texas if the Trojans lose.
Oof.
So we've got that story and that interview coming up just after 8 o'clock this morning here on K-Rock.
I would be sitting at the top of the Rose Bowl with a sniper gun if that was the case. I would just have some kind of tranquilizer dart gun taking out the quarterback in the back of the neck. That's what I'd have to do.
I like it because you really, I mean.
There's no way I'm going to Texas.
You're deciding where to live based on the outcome of the game?
Yeah. I think it's awesome. I think it's great.
Bean has a radio show. And he pretty much gets to do pretty much whatever he wants. Not always. Sometimes he gets voted down, but
barely, by the way.
He doesn't get to do what he wants.
Nice outlet.
It'd be all Pluto, all post office all the time. That's what I'm saying.
We never talk about the good stuff on this show.
So the good stuff is left to my personal life.
So the problem with that is that Bean can't get to the, quote, good stuff. So now he has started blogging. Bean has a blog.
Yeah, so I've read.
Because the good stuff we don't allow on the air.
He needs an outlet.
Now, the first thing that he has on his blog today
is like a cyst or a boil, and he needs to lance it.
Exactly.
I see.
Exactly. It's kind of like Doc. Like, he has too much in his head, and he's just got to get it out. And most people that are around him don't care.
This is purging for Bean.
Yes, he's just got to get it out. So Bean's blog begins like this. My wife and I went to Hawaii on vacation over the Christmas holiday. I was excited we were visiting Oahu because the Jack Lord Memorial statue is there. And I've wanted to see it since I read of its dedication last June 19th. He knows the date. It was dedicated last June 19th.
Yeah, definitely want to see statues.
Now,
yeah.
This is a guy who played a character on a TV show 30 years ago, Hawaii Five-O, right?
Yeah. Well, it went off the air in 1980, so it hasn't quite been 30 years, but it was one of my favorite shows, and I thought his Steve McGarrett from Hawaii Five-O was one of the all-time great television characters. Ralph, you're a fan of the TV. I'm sure you agree with me on that.
It was a great show, yes.
Do you care about Jack Lord?
I went on my honeymoon to Hawaii.
Because of that?
I was in Oahu. No, not because of that.
Did you go see the mall
where they have the statue.
Yeah.
Didn't bother me.
I've been on vacation with Bean. We've done some things for work at times, and we went to, like, the world's largest pecan and the world's largest ball of string and all that kind of stuff. It's this exact same thing this is. And basically, you get there and you go, okay, that's it. Right there. That's the world's largest boot. That's what that is. All right.
That's true. That's true if you go to the Grand Canyon, the Washington Monument.
How dare you?
Yep, there it is.
No,
you only go and you look at it, then you take a picture and you leave. That's true of anything.
You can't say the world's largest pecan, which, by the way, was made out of cement. It wasn't even a pecan. Is the same as one of the wonders of the world, the Grand Canyon? Please.
I've been to the world's largest pecan in Seguin, Texas, by the way, four times. I love that place.
Four times? That makes no sense.
Back me up. It's cement, right?
It is. It's not an actual
pecan. It's not even a pecan. Wow.
And by the way, the statue in Oahu, not actually Jack Lord either. It's actually also made out of cement.
Bean goes on. I wasn't sure exactly where it was, but I heard it was near a shopping mall. By the way, that's how you know it's going to be a good attraction, if it's near a shopping mall.
Well, it wasn't in my Lonely Planet travel guide, so I was having a little bit of trouble figuring out where the statue was.
Why wasn't it in the travel guide, I wonder?
Bean goes on in the blog. So I started asking around as soon as we got to the hotel. I realized after asking the concierge and the front desk clerk, by the way, Bean immediately starts annoying people when he gets to Hawaii, that not only did they not know where the statue was, they had never heard of Jack Lord.
Well, that's just sad.
But that's because the show was on 20 years ago, 25 years ago, for God's sakes.
Could be.
So Bean goes to a movie and immediately starts annoying the people there.
I didn't annoy people there. I just asked, hey, what about the Jack Lord statue?
When we went to see King Kong later that week at the Kahala Mall, we asked a few people about the statue and got the same response. Who? On a hunch, my wife went to one entrance in the parking lot, and sure enough, there it was. Bear in mind, the people who work at the mall where the statue has stood for a year and a half have never even heard of it. That made the memorial inscription all the more bittersweet. Jack Lord, 1920 to 1928. Artist, actor, and philanthropist.
He was only 8 when he died?
In 98.
In 98, sorry. Starred the legendary police drama Hawaii Five-O. He loved the sea, these islands, and their people. He will always be remembered.
That is sad.
And then Bean puts a picture of himself standing by the Jack Lord statue.
Yes.
Gay.
Bean, I reject you totally.
Well, I don't know if you're making fun of Jack Lord, you're making fun of my trip, you're making fun of my writing.
I'm making fun of your
all
love.
Of the above. I say I pick D, all of the above.
No, specifically, though, your love of the lame. You have always been a guy who loves lame. And so the fact that you are asking everybody in Hawaii where this stupid statue is that none of them care about.
Look, clearly there was enough interest in Jack Lord for the people to get the money together and find a location and build the statue and have the dedication ceremony and have it there and be maintained every day. I mean, clearly, it's not just me who was interested in Jack
Lord. The people inside the mall didn't know it was outside the mall. That's how much they care.
I'm not saying he's universally as loved today as he was the day he died. I'm just saying that I'm not the only one who's still a fan of Mr. Lord and his work.
Okay. You know, you can be a fan and still not want to see a statue of something.
Yeah.
It just, one is really nothing to do with
it. But
at
least you put the picture up, and that's good.
I thought people would interest. See, you make fun of the blog. Putting the picture of me up with the Jack Lord statue, which I'm very proud of, is not something that goes across on radio.
That's
true. Or a blog.
Oh, Bean. Yeah, Bean. Oh, God, Bean.
I don't need that kind of support, sir.
Here's another entry in Bean's blog. I'm always puzzled by people who say they hate country music. And then he goes on to describe how everybody should like country music, which is good. And then he says, one thing that I do know, the best song ever written about a funeral is a country song. I don't have that category, first of all. Best song written about a funeral. George Jones, He Stopped Loving Her Today.
And then that's a great song.
And then he goes on, recently I heard what I think is the best song I've ever heard about a suicide.
Hmm. This is like Jeopardy for ghouls. Today's topic is songs about suicide.
I'll take songs about suicide for 1,000, Alex.
But, Ruff, do you want me to be bringing in, hey, let's do a phone topic on the best songs about suicide? Is that what you want this show to turn into?
No, I don't, because no one would be interested. And yet you think someone out there is interested enough to read this on a blog.
What I'm saying is you should be grateful for the blog, because it gives me an outlet for the things I'm interested in that I can't get over.
Are those the only choices? Must it come out somewhere, Bean? Can it stay in your freaky head? Or must it be unleashed upon the populace somehow?
I believe I'll develop an ulcer if I don't get it out somehow.
This next entry, I think, is the most important, because I think everyone will care. On a much lighter musical note, a recent issue of Radio and Records magazine printed an interview with the legendary radio programming pioneer Kurt Burkhardt.
Kent Burkhardt.
Yeah. Never heard of him. Don't care. He was asked what his all-time favorite song is, and he said, I Love the Nightlife by Alicia Bridges. Now, I understand how difficult a question this is. We've all heard thousands of songs. How do you pick just one? But how does anybody pick I Love the Nightlife? Maybe Mr. Burkhardt just really, really loves to boogie.
I kind of enjoy Bean's blog.
Thank you, Lisa.
What's wrong with you?
Thank you, Lisa.
I actually did listen to the suicide song, and it's pretty good.
Have you got nothing else going in your life that you can take time out for this?
Well, I just got wireless, so I just bring my computer with me everywhere, and I'm just, you know, like, devouring stuff. I would never go see the Jack Lord statue, but it is kind of funny that no one knew where it was, and yet on the statue it says.
Your
excuse is you have a computer? That's why you're reading Bean's blog?
That's
because there's a real dearth of stuff out there on the internet, Lisa. You're right. There's very few things to pick up, so I can see why you'd carve out some time to read about who likes I Love the Nightlife.
Curious what's going through.
I damn you to hell.
I am telling you, there are probably hundreds of our listeners right now listening who have their own blog.
Yeah.
It's not uncommon these days. A lot of people do it. And as I said in my first entry on January 1st, because I just started this year in 2006, it's so easily ignored. If you're not interested, I'm not forcing people to go. Nobody has to go if they don't want to. But it's there if anyone cares. That's all.
Who do you think is interested? That's what I'm curious about. We all know the people who aren't and are going to ignore this, because that's the vast majority of the population.
His friend Frank.
Yeah, well.
Is it just for your little gay buddy, Frank, where you two can just write blogs back and forth? There's a thing called email. If you want to express your lame-ass I Love the Nightlife story to Frank, send him a freaking email.
You don't think it's
for a minute that this matters to anybody else and putting it out there for general consumption.
You don't think it's a tiny bit interesting.
No!
There's a person out there whose favorite song of all time is I Love the Nightlife.
Zero interesting. 0% interesting.
Here's one that we can all agree on, I think, even you, Ralph. Dick Clark made his return to the public eye last night, Bean writes, on the 1st of January. After more than a year in seclusion following a serious stroke, there he was behind the desk at a television studio in Times Square on ABC's New York Rockin' Eve show. Too bad you look like such a big old tard. Happy New Year, Bean.
Bean, what's wrong with you?
I'm just saying, guys.
Now you're just right. You used to be just saying. Now you're just writing.
But Ralph, in his defense, at least if he writes it, maybe he won't say it to us.
There's no chance of that.
We have a link.
Get it coming and going now.
You can go to Bean's blog if you want to see it at DocOnTheRock.com.
Congratulations. No, come on.
What? Huh?
KRock.com. If you go to KRock.com, the Kevin and Bean section, there is a link to the blog.
You put a link up?
Don't. See?
We did put a link up.
Bean thinks this is interesting. He thinks someone should read this.
If no one cares, then don't go. It won't hurt my feelings.
I think Ralph and I are going to start a blog that just makes fun of your blog. So,
no, then, see, I won't do that because I don't think anyone cares about what I think about that. So I'm not going to do that. Okay, keep it fine. In my head, Bean. How about that for an idea?
Brand new Guns N' Roses. Those are words you never thought you'd hear again, huh? Brand new, yeah. Guns N' Roses music. It's called IRS. A few tracks have been leaked from the forthcoming Chinese Democracy CD. If you have not heard IRS, you will in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock.
You guys know Bobby Knight, the former coach of the Indiana... What are they? What were they?
What's Hoosiers?
It? Hoosiers, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He was the coach for them for years and years. He won championships. He eventually got fired because of his temper. He was throwing chairs onto the floor in the middle of games and stuff. It was spectacular.
One of the greatest college basketball coaches of all time. I think he was with him for almost 30 years. Coaches at Texas Tech right now. Still got that famous temper. In fact, I think we've got the clip of him being interviewed recently, and somebody, a reporter, wanted to ask him some questions about the school he used to coach for, Indiana.
I want to ask you about Indiana. Mike Davis, yesterday in a conference call.
I have absolutely no interest in talking about Indiana.
What's your next question? Long time, Coach, and Mike Davis said that this is a school that needs to have one of their own to take over. Coach, don't take the earpiece out.
He walked away. He's gone.
Yeah, he's got a temper, that's for sure. And he can't be pleased with this new unauthorized biography that is just out in stores right now. It was released earlier this month. Steve Delson and Mark Heisler have written a book that is apparently very good and very comprehensive about the whole life of Coach Knight.
Yeah, there's a lot of great information in here. And we thought we would just run, since it's unauthorized, mm-hmm. it means he was not necessarily helping them. So we thought we'd run the book by Bobby Knight. And we've got him on the phone. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean and Lisa and whoever the f*** is there in your f***ing studio.
Oh, God.
Goddamn Los Angeles.
Bobby, listen, we're on the radio, and we're not allowed to use that language.
Yeah, ask me another question. Ask me if I f***ing care about what the f***ing FCC or FDA or whatever the f*** is listening in on this. NSA. I don't care who the f*** is listening. Whatever the f*** I want. Numbnuts?
All right, Coach, listen, we're trying to be respectful here. We just want to talk to you for a couple of minutes about the new book that's out. It's an unauthorized biography. How do you feel about these guys, Delson and Heisler, writing the book about you?
That's right. You know what an unauthorized biography is?
It's one that you're not...
Moron. It's a bunch of goddamn made up lies.
All right, let me run it.
It's like that Fry kid who wrote that fucking million little lies or whatever the book was.
Bobby, let me run a couple of the things that are in the book by you, if you don't mind. On page 93, it says, wanting to control your player's appearance, you once doused a black player with water and smushed down his afro to make it smaller.
What's wrong with that?
So that did happen.
What's wrong with that?
So that did happen.
Well, of course it happened, you dumb
Well, what's the complaint from you then if items like that in the book are accurate? I mean, it seems like that's what you'd want, is a book that's truthful.
Well, I don't care if he writes stuff like that. I mean, if a kid's got a big afro sticking up, where it interferes with the basket,
right?
Then that's just common sense.
All right, how about the time you gave a player a bag saying it was a gift and the player reached in, pulled out a box of tampons, and you said, you're playing like a pussy?
He was a pussy.
So that happened
too. Did you see that game?
No.
He had two rebounds in the whole goddamn game.
How about the time when you your son, Patrick Knight, was playing, made a bad pass, you made him sit on the bench, and you kicked him?
He's lucky I didn't kick him in the balls.
Wow.
So everything in the book is true.
Well, you just happened to pick out the true part.
Oh. All right, how about this one? You went shooting in Wisconsin. You went hunting, and you shot a friend in the shoulder.
That's right. I went Dick Cheney on his ass. If it's good enough for the vice president, it's good enough for goddamn Bobby Knight.
Sure,
and
yeah.
As far as that goes, anything, you know, if it's good enough for the vice president, then go yourself.
That's a good motto right there, Coach. Hey, it seems like a lot of your friends who have never previously spoken on the record made themselves available to this author. Is that causing any kind of friction in your personal relationships, Coach?
What kind of question is that, you brainless retard?
Bobby,
you don't ask me about my personal life. Who the for you anyway.
Bobby, there's an entire book out. This unauthorized biography is all about your life.
That's right. It's unauthorized, motherfucker.
But everything okay. we've asked you about
is... I don't want to be asked some dumbass question by some witless goddamn douchebag about my personal life.
Right, but everything...
So why don't you ask me an intelligent question?
All right.
What kind of journalist are you anyway?
How about this one? In 1984, during the Olympics, when the USA was playing West Germany, apparently at halftime...
1984. Why not ask me about... President Garfield in 1750, whatever the did.
Because
what the hell does something in 1984 have to do with anything?
Let me finish the question. It was the Olympics and the United States team, and Michael Jordan was on the team. And apparently, at halftime, his fellow players had to keep him from attacking you. What the hell was going on?
He's one lucky black man. That's all I can say.
So that's true as well.
If his friends held him back, then he's goddamn lucky.
So you don't remember? You don't have any idea?
I don't know what the f*** you're talking about.
All right.
You witless douchebag.
I'm saying that's in the book. It's in the unauthorized biography.
Sucking mother son of a bitch.
Okay. All right. Listen, Coach, we got to go, but I'm glad that we got the chance to catch up with you. And it sounds like the Eggerich management classes are working out for you.
Go see Brokeback Mountain.
Thank you, Mr.
Thanks,
Knight.
Coach.
Bye now. You know, we talk about a lot of different topics on this show, and every once in a while, something will come out of left field and completely surprise us.
Yes.
And that's what this particular topic did, because we didn't know that there was anyone who was alive today who was afraid of what this guy's afraid of.
Let's talk to K-Rock listener Ronnie about the email we got last week. Hey, Ronnie, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean and Lisa May.
Good morning.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. How long have you been listening to the little program?
Oh, it's been about 5 years, I think.
Wow. Right.
Thank you very much. So I got this email from you at the end of last week. Dear Bean, this email begins, am I the only one that constantly thinks about how they would survive when the dead come back to life to kill the living? You're talking about zombies, right, Ronnie?
Yes, I am.
I'm always on the lookout for buildings with little or no windows that would be a good place to defend in case of a zombie attack. I'm always looking out for the nearest item that I could use as a weapon to bash a zombie's brain in, because we all know that's the only way to stop a zombie. I look for escape routes for me and my family for when they come to the front door, the back door, or the garage. I've got high spots picked out in my neighborhood that we can climb to get out of reach of the zombies, because we all know that zombies can't climb. I've decided that other typical places like police stations and military bases that are good hiding places, the best local place to go that will keep the zombies out is a bank. It's one of the few places that's built specifically to keep people out. We'll have to venture out for food, of course, but I plan to stop at the nearest grocery store and grab as much food and water as I can before I head to the bank. I think it's a good plan. If you have any suggestions on how to help me prepare for a zombie invasion, please feel free to let me know. Now, we read your email, Ronnie, and I got to tell you, you opened up the floodgates.
Well, we read your email on the air, and then we got like a bunch of other listeners that emailed us and said, oh my God, I can't believe Ronnie's afraid of just like I am.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I can't be the only one to think
that.
Well,
we thought you were.
We hoped you
until
were.
Until we read your email, and then we realized everybody is afraid of zombies.
The dead who live on living flesh. The dead whose haunted souls hunt the living. The living whose bodies are the only food for these ungodly creatures.
They're mindless walking corpses. Zombies, man. They creep me out.
It's like they're pretending to be alive.
Is everyone dead?
Dead-ish.
Dead-ish, sure.
Dear Kevin, Bean, Ralph, and Lisa, regarding the paranoid listener whose idle mind is occupied with zombie defense strategies, well, the best place to go in the event of a zombie invasion would be Costco. They've got nearly indefinite food supply, big screen TVs and DVDs to occupy your time. They're all fortified with roll-down doors that the undead would not be able to claw through. And most Costcos are three stories tall with unscalable walls. The roof would be an excellent place to pick off zombies with rifles for defense or sporting purposes. Zoe, what's going on, Ronnie? You're afraid of zombies. What's the deal?
Well, isn't everybody? I mean, wouldn't you be afraid of zombies?
Well, I am now. I wasn't until I got your email.
How often have you watched Dawn of the Dead or whatever those movies were?
Well, see, that's the thing. I'm not even a real big zombie movie fan. But when I do see a zombie movie, it irritates me so bad when they do such stupid things like walk up to him and ask him, sir, are you okay, when his face is half
you know, off.
But, Ronnie, I'm not a zombie expert, but don't they walk at about 1 foot per hour?
Well, it depends on what movie you're watching. If you watch House of the Dead, they're super zombies, and they like to jump, you know, 50 feet. And
well, then how's your little stay up high plan going to work? Isn't that for bears?
Well, if it's super zombies, I'm screwed.
We're all screwed if it's super zombies.
Right. I mean, it seems like zombies would be easy to run away from. It doesn't seem like they could ever catch you.
But if there's a lot of them and they're surrounding your house, you can't just run away from them. You have to get up high. You have to find alternate escape routes.
It seems like if you just ran full... Look, listen to us talking now as if it's going to happen.
No, he's right. You couldn't.
Yes,
if
you
your
could.
House was surrounded by zombies...
You just run through them.
No, they're, it's not, they're strong enough to stop you.
No, they're not. They're
well,
dead.
Sometimes they're like 10 deep. How can you run through 10 deep?
Dude, they're dead. They're
it's
not
like
exactly,
Red Rover.
They haven't exactly been working out, you know?
Yeah, but they still weigh like 150,
How
200
do you know
pounds.
What a zombie weighs?
Let's go to Candace and Elisa Viejo. We're talking about the coming zombie invasion and what we can do to avoid it. Candace, you got some experience with people being afraid of zombies, huh?
Hey, guys. Hey, Lisa.
Hello.
Who's afraid of zombies in your house?
Yeah, my stepdad is afraid of zombies, and he was telling my mom and me about how he's afraid of zombies and his plan of how everybody would get out of the house, and we thought he was ridiculous. But he has it all worked out that they've got enough food, and if it came down to it, they've got two cats, so they can eat one cat, and the other cat can chase mice and catch mice so they can live in the house, no problem.
Okay, your stepdad told you all this?
Yeah, he did. It's ridiculous.
Was he laughing when he told you, or was he serious?
No, he was dead serious. And I guess there's some book that's the ultimate survival guide to, I don't know, dead or zombie attack or something that he sent me a link to, and he said, no, you've got to read this book because it tells you that they're going to come. The zombies are going to come.
How old were you when your stepdad told you this?
Oh, this was just a couple weeks ago.
How old are you now?
I'm 28.
28.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow, stepdad's going bye-bye.
No, it's crazy.
Thank you, Candace.
Hey, Ronnie, have you read the Max Brooks book that she's referring to, The Zombie Survival Guide?
No, I'm going to Google it right now.
Dude!
Apparently, it's a very, very hot seller. I also want to thank K-Rock listener Tim for sending me a link to his website. He, Kevin, writes zombie haiku, which I think... Tornado above, wind ripping dead flesh from bones, zombie keeps walking. That sort of thing. Haiku about zombies. Apparently, we have really tapped into something here.
All right, let's say good morning to Dennis from Torrance. Good morning, Dennis.
Morning.
You're also freaked out by zombies.
Well, I'm not really freaked out, but I've definitely spent more time with, like, friends or something, just kind of BSing around, like, watching a bad zombie movie of how to survive a zombie attack than how to avoid an Al-Qaeda attack.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, like, if there's some kind of a gas or some kind of an attack like that, you're not prepared. But if zombies come back...
But if zombies, I know exactly. First off, every one of the movies, they figure out real quick, the bite's what causes them to turn into zombies.
I see, so if they
and
bite you...
And none of them bother to put on, like, jackets or even, like, you know, like, hey, put on shoulder pads at least, you know?
Who has shoulder pads laying around the house, though, Dennis?
Go raid your local high school. Get football equipment, something. I
Dennis?
Mean, they just put on an overcoat. I mean, they walk out bare-armed like, oh, my God, I got bit.
How old are you, Dennis?
I'm 35.
Okay. All right.
But then, I mean, we'll watch, like, lots of the bad movies. Like, we loved Shaun of the Dead.
Sure.
Army of Darkness. And
sure. You watch them too much, Dennis.
Oh,
good stuff. Thanks for calling.
Unhappy zombie, what plagues you so, oh dead one? My right arm fell off. Thank you very much. Please give a zombie haiku.
Let's talk to Manny, who scares me, I think, more than even Ronnie. Good morning, Manny.
Hey, guys. Hey, Lisa.
Hello, Manny.
Tell us about your fear.
Well, not so much as a fear as preparedness. I mean, I've got my I got a 14-inch machete that I drive around with in my Explorer. I just kind of keep it under my seat.
Is that because you live in Inglewood, or are you from Columbia, or
I
what?
I live in Inglewood.
You do?
Manny, I got to tell you, I have received emails already this morning from others who carry around big knives or machetes because they say they don't run out of bullets, and you can kill a lot more zombies with a sharp blade than you can with a gun. Is that your thinking, too?
That's absolutely true. Any kind of blunt object will do it.
But, Manny, are you kidding when you say you carry a machete around?
No, I mean, I also go hiking and stuff, you know, and like to clear a trail and stuff, but I mean, that's the main reason.
It's really for zombies.
Yes, I have the survival guide.
How old are you, Manny?
Kevin, why are you hating unpreparedness, man? These people are all a step ahead of you and me. We're going to be the first to get killed
by
the zombies.
I can run through the zombies.
Well, you say that now, but a lot of people get killed by zombies.
Yeah, but I'll wear an overcoat. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? All right, let's go to Jared in Huntington Beach. Good morning, Jared.
Good morning.
Now, you read this book, this Max Brooks's book.
It's the best book ever. I used to be like a zombie, you know, novice fearmonger about zombie, just invasions and all kinds of crazy stuff. But fortunately, I worked through it with that book.
Oh, so you're no longer afraid?
No longer afraid after that book.
Is that because you're prepared?
Because I'm prepared.
Because he's prepared.
Oh, I see. Do you carry a machete around?
I do not carry a machete around. I live a perfectly normal life nowadays.
How are you prepared then? What's the preparation? What's the secret?
Basically, I'm screwed no matter what. So it's kind of that, you know, that resolve, knowing that they're going to win no matter what. But at least I know that I gave it my best when it finally happened.
But Jared...
So you can take out a few before you go.
Absolutely.
Okay, I don't want to hang with you then, because you've got a really defeatist plan. Let's talk to Leanne, who's calling from Anaheim. Good morning, Leanne.
Good morning.
How are all you people afraid of zombies?
I am. That's the worst thing that could possibly happen. I am not scared of terrorists. I am all about the zombies.
Well, why isn't President Bush speaking to this, then, if this is our problem?
That's a great point. You know, he just did the State of the Union address a couple of weeks ago. Not a word of zombies. Before we hear your story, perhaps some more zombie haiku from our friend Tim. Zombie, poor zombie, why was death on vacation on your dying day? All right, what's your plan, Leanne? How are you going to avoid being killed by zombies?
Yeah,
I have started rationing and... bringing in supplies, and I'm starting to get a shark suit made because the zombies cannot bite through the shark suit.
Oh, that's very smart. Very smart.
You're getting
smart.
A shark suit made. Are those the ones that are made out of, like, chain link?
Absolutely. And I go...
All right, wait a minute. Leanne.
Gun range.
Leanne.
And I practice.
But you're kidding about the shark suit?
No.
How much is it costing you?
No, I'm in the process. It's still being, like... thought out, but
you're going to get a shark suit in case the zombies attack.
Absolutely.
I have no problem. I am Leanne, sign me up for one too. Would you get two made, please?
All right, definitely.
I love every one of you people. This is awesome. You are my people.